Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a freaking idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? If a coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We got a lot to discuss here this week.
What, Tiger Woods?
Everybody is freaking out. The Patriots played, I'd say this is a worse game than San Diego last year, although it was similar in how every time the Saints threw the ball up, they caught it.
But this was more precise.
Yeah.
I felt that the Saints, when they needed a bomb, got a bomb. When they needed a five-yard out, they got the five-yard out. When they needed
whatever
a 13-yard in cut,
they just did it.
People talk about different things. I think the Saints would have scored 90 if they needed 90 to win, 150 if they needed 150.
And the scary thing is, as well, last year it was Matt Cassel and the offense, but this year it was Tom Brady, and you thought, well, at least the offense would keep pace.
And they didn't.
All right. So
we're moving on already?
Yeah, we're moving on. So
if you want to
now it's on to the Dolphins.
We'll go somewhere else.
We're going to discuss that. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We'll be here until 2 o'clock as we are every Wednesday. Actually, this is kind of like a Tuesday, but it's a Wednesday. But it's the first time we've had a chance to talk to everybody on this show about the game. So we'll do that before we move on to the Miami Dolphins, which is a big game coming up this Sunday.
Could have been a really big game.
Yeah.
Right.
If the Dolphins
won. Little kudos to Buffalo for making it a little less stressful than it needs to be.
The Buffalo or Chad Henne?
Yeah, well, either one. Whichever way you want to go with that.
I just want to say one thing about the game. A little opening.
Okay, go ahead, buddy.
A little opening.
It's going to involve
villages. I really like your openings after wins a lot
better. No, but here, you know, and I'm sure you guys are going to jump down my throat when I'm done. But, look, it was an awful loss.
But can I cut you off just for a second?
He's going to jump down your throat.
I haven't even started.
I want to get this straight with Andy. Is this the point where Fred has had 24 hours to digest a loss and has rationalized it? Go ahead. You may proceed.
It's pretty
now.
Much the same thing I said on PFW TV yesterday. It was an awful loss. Defense got exposed. You know, not that we should be too surprised at that, because I think the Colts were able to do when they wanted to anything they wanted as well. Offense,
got
poor
exposed.
Night, just absolutely terrible. However, for those who are saying that the season's over, that's it.
Can we wait for the second
that's
hour?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
One of your staff members is saying that and writing that.
The Saints are in the NFC. The Vikings are in the NFC. Two teams which I think the Patriots...
Thank God we're in the easy AFC.
Two teams I think the Patriots don't match up well against. However, I look at this AFC... Every team is beatable by the Patriots. You know, do we have cause for concern? Absolutely. But to say that they can't do damage in the playoffs because of that game against the Saints is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I agree.
You know, so I just want to get that off my chest right now. You know, all these people, Ron Borges included, and the people that are just waiting to jump on
Eric.
This team. You know, other than the offensive disappointment, I don't think that there's anything that we didn't know going into that game.
Yeah, but other than the offensive disappointment, I would argue now that the offense has proven itself a little bit of a paper champion. The games where they've needed to win games, they haven't.
Well, they have to win all the games. I mean, it's
no,
not
no,
like...
No, but I'm talking about good teams on the road. You need some plays.
That's a good point, Fred.
I think
thanks, Bill. You always try to score more points than the opposition.
I think last week's game against the Jets was a more must-win than this week.
But I'm not. I'm talking about when you had good competition.
And I would argue they didn't perform all that well in that game.
I would, too.
Okay.
And I just think the defense, you're right. I had started to have higher hopes than most, I think, about this defense. That came all crashing down in New Orleans. But the offense... Somebody took away Moss and Welker, and they just pooped themselves. They had no – it was throw to Sam Akin every time you needed a play, and I'm sorry, you're not going to win a lot of games if Sam Akin's your go-to guy.
I'm going to go a little Fred Kirsch on you here, Freddie. If you go in specifically with the words that you just said, the season is over, they have no chance, then I would totally 100% agree with you. However, I do think the premise of what these people are talking about when they say it's over, I would generally agree with. And by that, I mean we've seen it now three times on the road against quality opponents where they really haven't stacked up. And this one was the most glaring. And the second half performances still leave a lot to be desired. That's 11 games into the season with very few exceptions. It hasn't been very good in the second half.
Luckily, they covered that up with a bad first half this week.
Exactly. So. No one's talking about it because they were worse in the first half this right. week. But I think the bigger picture here, you know, you say that Minnesota and New Orleans are in the – I'm in 2006 mode. I wouldn't take away the Patriots' chances of going all the way to the Super Bowl and maybe even winning it. However, in order to do that, they now have to catch lightning in a bottle and pull upsets the way Pittsburgh did in 05.
Right.
You can do it. Right. It's not impossible. Pittsburgh was a lower seed in 05. They did it. The Giants certainly did it in 07. They can do it. It's not impossible.
And it's more possible with Tom Brady than with most teams.
And that's why I would agree with you. If people are saying it can't happen, they're wrong. It absolutely can happen.
Look, the Patriots are going to win their last five games. I'm telling you right now.
And we won't feel any better.
No.
We shouldn't feel any better about their
chances. But they're going to end up 12-4. That might still be good for number two. It may not be. But they'll probably be number three if the Bengals keep winning at 12-4. They're going to have to win a game, at least a game on the road as number three.
More than likely two.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, somebody could get knocked off. You know, you never know.
But that's what you're resorting to. You're saying they can catch lightning in a bottle.
Right.
Maybe somebody will get knocked off.
But you're
they are no longer the big dog, the front runner, the feared.
Well, in
you're
the AFC, the Colts are the big dog. They're the front runner. The Chargers are surging.
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen to them by the end of the year. But.
But we know the Patriots are going to win every game.
But other than that. Other than that, the AFC, that's it in the AFC. The Steelers aren't what they were.
But I'd put the Steelers in the same boat as the Patriots.
Exactly.
If they go on a run, I think they can win the Super Bowl.
And I actually
I think they have enough talent and enough experience and all that.
So any Steeler fan or people covering the Steelers,
I just don't want you to poo-poo them.
The Steelers.
I don't want you to say the Patriots can go on and win the Super Bowl and Steelers are done.
But I'm saying they have just as much a chance as any other team in the AFC other than the number one seed, the Colts, who everything would have to go through.
Or the number two, whoever the number two is.
Yeah, but who will that number two be?
Doesn't matter.
The Bengals?
Are you really
afraid of the Bengals?
It doesn't matter, Fred.
I think
they'll have an easier road.
What if it's the Chargers?
That's all I'm saying.
They will have an easier road.
Are you afraid of the Chargers? If it's 1-2, if it's Colts and Chargers?
Not really, no.
Really?
No.
They're playing some pretty good football. I'm not sold that they're going to continue to play it for the next 2 months.
Listen, injuries can change a lot of things, and all of a sudden the landscape changes. But right now, if you're playing San Diego tomorrow in San Diego, I am not confident in the least of going out there and winning that game tomorrow.
Now, not either.
You made a great point, Fred. Let's see what they're playing like in January.
I know.
They might not be playing like this. They're surging now. Maybe they won't be then.
But
could be the Giants.
You know, if this was the day before the Saints game, and you were same conversation, would you feel better about the Patriots going to San Diego than
yes,
you do now?
Yes, better.
Why? It's the same team.
Because they didn't go out and get blitzkrieged by a
team. So they went out in that game and they stunk it up. Now everything has changed.
But you're the guy who tells us to assess things after they happen.
You measure yourself.
We now have 11 games to assess them.
Right. You measure yourself against the elite.
Right.
Now, you're saying ignore game number 11. Go back to thinking how you were at game number 10.
We all thought, let's face it, I picked New Orleans to win, you picked New Orleans to win.
Right.
But we both didn't think New Orleans was that good.
Absolutely. Well, no, I didn't think the Patriots were going to perform that bad.
No, but we didn't think New Orleans was, quote-unquote, that good.
Yeah. You can't even give them credit?
No, I absolutely give them credit. That's why I thought they were going to lose.
Was phenomenal.
You're the one
I look at them in a total different way now. I think their defense was phenomenal.
Yeah. I thought New Orleans would win the game because of home
field. They got
pressure
up front on Tom Brady. I thought they played a complimentary game, and Sean Payton and Drew Brees deserve co-MVP honors.
Absolutely.
Because Sean Payton had this defense questioning every play, every formation, had no idea what they were doing.
I think that their offense is what the Patriots was in 07. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Whatever,
but in a different way, because I still don't think any of their guys are great, but their offense is great.
No, but
the Patriots had two Hall of Famers.
They
on
have
their
such depth, and I think that Brees has such command of his playbook and awareness of the field that whatever you try to do to them, he's got an answer for.
Exactly.
And that's what the Patriots were in 07. Yeah,
but they had elite talent. I don't.
Whatever
any
the
of that
reason is,
elite.
Andy, it doesn't matter what the reason is.
I'm just saying it's different.
The end result is the same. They can do whatever you want to pretty much any defense in the league.
I agree.
You know, the only defense that might give them, believe it or not, I'm going to go back to the Vikings, because of their front is so, they might be able to get the pressure on Brees that you have to get in order to stymie, just like the Giants did to us in 07.
Right. And
that's
also
the only way you were going to beat the Patriots was to get pressure on the quarterback. I think the Vikings can do it. I don't know if any other team can.
I think you're right about the Vikings, because they also can stop the run with the front four.
Right.
You know, when they have the Williams boys in the middle, they can stop the run, and then that front, you know, the guys on the outside can get the pressure on the
pass. And can run it and play keep away.
Right.
Right. And I'm not sure that'll happen, and believe me, I have been one of the real doubters of Minnesota, but I'm watching this team week after week after week, and they make it look effortless.
Yeah.
And they're just dominant.
And I think part of it, you know, obviously Farr and Peterson, but I think that offensive line allows Peterson to run like he does and gives Farr time to do whatever he wants. And like Paul said, on the other side, they're very strong on their lines, both sides of the ball. And that's, to me, I think that's their strength in Minnesota. And that's the kind of team I think that has a chance against San Diego. I mean, it's not San Diego, it's New Orleans.
Yeah.
But, well, I think Minnesota has a chance because they're a good football team. I mean, you look across the board, they have players at every level, position, whatever you want to call it.
But again,
everybody in the playoff,
New Orleans
hunt,
and Minnesota, we don't have to worry about them.
But
until
you do
the Super
have
Bowl.
To worry about Indy and San Diego,
and I think
maybe somebody else.
And look, they have as much chance to beat the Patriots as we have of them. But to really just throw away the season because of that horrendous loss Monday night, I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, don't you think Indy has a better chance to beat the Patriots?
If they've done it more often, and it's going to be an Indy.
That's where the game's going to be.
So they have a better chance. Don't say it's equal.
Yeah, it's not equal.
That will be an
it's
upset.
Not an even game. Yeah.
They are the favorites in that match.
They will be the favorites.
They will have to upset San Diego as
and
well.
And
if San Diego
will be a 3-point favorite or 4-point
Cincinnati
favorite.
Is one that I would say they don't have to upset Cincinnati.
Right.
They could beat Cincinnati on any field.
Or Cincinnati could beat themselves. Who knows?
Right. Who knows? Maybe Chad Johnson will throw a punch at somebody in the middle of the game. The last time they were in the playoffs, that's what happened.
But to lose hope because of that game, I think, is just so short-sighted.
Well, I wish Eric was here, because he's the one who lost hope.
We need to get this with Eric, because he's the one that was really outspoken about it. Well, but I think that you're taking it to an extreme that I would agree with you. I mean, if you're going to say you have no hope, that's stupid.
Here's Eric. You know,
I saw a column where the guy used the dumb and dumber line. So you're saying there's a chance, because that's what the Patriots have right now, a chance, but it's not like...
Well, it's like, you know, Fred just said that they're going to win their last five games. I totally agree. I think they're going to win their last five games. I've also seen Pittsburgh's last five games. They're going to win their last five, too. It's not going to tell me that Pittsburgh is any more dangerous.
They were winning them by barely beating Seneca Wallace.
They're not going to be any more dangerous. I'm not going to feel any better if they do.
They will, though.
I'll feel a lot worse if you stub your toe than I will feel great if they win.
Now, as far as Eric, you and he were going at it like schoolgirls this morning. I don't know what was going on, but I guess Eric thinks it's over.
Closing the door on the dynasty.
And I'm going to say this
Bill
before
Belichick
Eric
can't
gets
coach
here,
anymore.
So he can't, you know, cut me off. Eric is feeling bad because he's the only one, believe it or not, that hasn't picked against the Patriots this year.
No, stop telling
and so
lies.
So now he's
going
to come out full bore against
liar.
To make up for that, to show that, well, I'm not a that's what he's doing.
That's Homer.
That's the only thing he's doing right now.
We'll see. I'll let him speak for himself. He's at Brady, and he's going to come down after that. But
Weird media
weird,
day today.
Wacky stuff.
You know, today, as always, is Wednesday, and it's
that's
media
weird,
day.
Wacky, wild stuff.
So there's the conference calls with all the opposing coach and whoever who's calling in from Miami.
I don't actually know. Seau was talking to them,
which
I thought was funny.
Seau's
inactive.
To them.
He doesn't play.
And Bill Belichick. Now, usually Bill has his press conference before Brady in the morning on Wednesday, but today they bumped it all the way down to 5:15 today for some reason.
Jason Taylor.
player access isn't until 4:30 today, which is weird. Usually that's in the morning.
Today's also a walkthrough.
Very atypical of the way things go here.
I think that he looked at his team and says they need a kind of a break.
Can I ask you about that?
Yeah.
Do you think we make too much of that? Not
what?
We. Do you think the coaches, think Belichick makes too much of some of these different, you know, the week of the Thanksgiving game, he must have made 15 references to it's kind of like a short week. Even though it's in the regular week, it's kind of like a short week. You know, and then all of a sudden, I mean, they just played a Monday night game on the road. I mean, it happens. Everybody plays a Monday night game on the road every week.
I think physically it's a short week because of recovery. But other than that game plan, I think it's nothing because more often than not, they have Monday and Tuesday off. He gives them their victory Mondays. They have Tuesday off, and they come in on Wednesday. They get the game plan, and they play a game on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I mean, it's not
with
easy.
All the guys on the injury report.
I'm not saying it's
is where
easy.
It comes in.
I'm saying I think that we sometimes. I think sometimes Bill talks about this stuff and adjusts things so dramatically that it makes it an issue when it really doesn't have to be one. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to go out and lose. I think they're going to win the game Sunday against Miami just like all you guys do. But I'm a little surprised that Bill makes so much of that. You know, the whole – because remember the Thanksgiving week last week before the Jets game? How many times did you say it feels like a short week? Feels like a short – well, it wasn't. But he kept saying it over and over again. And now this is a short week and – this is the first time in my recollection that he moved access by 5 hours.
That's a good point, too, because usually, well...
We've played road games at night in the past that we haven't adjusted like this.
But he in the past, he's made mention of, well, you know, we got a short week this week, so we got a lot of things to catch up on.
Right.
But this year, it seems a little bit more mention of that.
Yeah, and not only mention, but adjustments.
Yeah.
Well, that's to it. Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. That's why in the past... He has just said, well, it's a short week here. We got a lot of work to do, but it's business as usual. This year, it's a short week. We have a lot to do. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have access 5 hours off of what we normally do. Like Andy said, it's going to be a walkthrough on Wednesday, which is not typically the MO. I don't know. He knows his team better than we do. I you know, and far be it from us to question.
Or does he, Eric Scalavino poses?
I'm not sitting here having the audacity to question the way he's preparing. I'm just wondering why the change.
But for him, there's always a reason.
Right. Why the change is.
It's not, you know, and the reasons aren't just why is he changing, but why is he mentioning it so much? Why does he want the media? I'm more concerned with
why he's changing than why he's mentioning it. Because talk is cheap.
No,
actions affect things. And we always hear them say, they're creatures of habit. We like to keep everything the same as, you know, or as similar as we can. You know, we didn't want to go to London early because we wanted to have the full week of preparation here because that was important. Well, now instead of we didn't want to have practice at 10 o'clock because that's what we do, you know, we're having it at 4 or, you know, whatever, access.
No,
I mean access, not practice.
It's interesting. You know, especially after a game like that, you would think, oh, I want to get him back out there as soon as possible. You know, not pushing it, not Tuesday because it was a Monday night game, but get him in pads and let's go over the stuff that we screwed up on. But maybe for him at this point, it's less a physical thing and it's more a mental thing. He wants to give him as much time to kind of relax today, get him out in shorts, and let's just walk through this stuff. Because you guys made mental errors. Or what, you know, the tackling aside, which, you know, but you guys made defensive mental errors and offensive mental errors, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's get in a less formal, you know, atmosphere, get you out in shorts and shells, and let's just walk it through. Let's figure out what we did. And then Thursday we're going to come back strong. Friday we're going to come back strong. You know, maybe that's his thinking.
Could be.
That's what he needs to do.
It certainly, I think, was more mental this week than physical. I mean, I know they got beat.
No doubt.
Mentally, they weren't ready to go. They weren't on the field. They weren't competing.
Yeah, and if I hear one more person say, but did you see the hit that Merriweather put on Shockey? I'm going to throw up.
Who said that?
Oh, like five people.
He finally
yesterday.
Made a tackle, and people are celebrating it.
That was a great hit.
For
no,
a 15-yard game.
He's been trying to do it for 4 years. He finally did it.
Don't these guys know that if they did the same type of hit but landed on top of the guy, it would hurt more?
He's mad because he only knocked him down.
Did he
knock him out?
Right.
He admits it.
I did want to talk about Merriweather a little bit. Everybody's talking about the defense, but if you remember, midseason he's all pro and Rodney Harrison.
Right.
And we said Colts are on the horizon, Saints are on the horizon. If he's truly an elite free safety, he will have impact in a positive way in these games.
True.
I don't think he did.
No.
So,
and I think Brandon McGowan has kind of slipped a little.
I agree.
I think, yeah, some of the luster, and I've been huge on McGowan all year, but yeah. some of the luster has gone off
in
the last couple of weeks.
One was a street free agent who you were happy he was doing what he was doing.
It's true.
The other is your first-round pick who should be developing into what you kind of thought he was, and now maybe he took a step back and isn't. I would say the same thing for Will Hite.
Yeah.
You know, not as high a pick, and not, but
right.
I personally had hopes that he was kind of developing into a starting caliber NFL yeah. cornerback, and who did he get undressed?
I mean, you know, Wheatley hasn't done anything.
Nothing.
You know, Butler's played a little bit less.
No, he played more.
He played a lot the other night. Yeah. Didn't see. Well, he was involved like everybody else was on the 75-yarder.
Right. Or not, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird play. I think Merriweather may have made the biggest gaffe on that.
I do, too.
Well, the
I think Butler was involved because he saw it and tried to get involved.
Yeah.
I think it was the
same. The end zone film shows Merriweather shading to the right from the snap.
Yeah.
He immediately went to the
right.
He bit on something that
Drew Brees wanted him to bite on, let's put it that way.
And you know, going back to Brees, you know, Brees was looking that way. That's why I think Merriweather went... You know,
well, that was a great job.
Andy made a great point on that.
Did you see that? He has a guy blitzing off the corner and has the confidence, smarts, whatever you want it, to look left, fake left, and then just comfortably come back and hit the guy for the score.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you know things are going great, because normally you know the guy's going to be open, so you're trying to get the ball to him quick and you throw right at it. He was so confident in the play developing that he continued to look the safety off, to look left.
Yeah.
I just think that was a picture-perfect example of why they're great right now. Yeah. They're all doing the job, and he has the utmost confidence in, okay, that guy's coming, but Jeremy Shockey's going to pick him up, and when I come back, instead of this being a quick hit to the hot receiver, it's a touchdown.
You know, the other thing that really should get under the skin of Patriots fans, you know, we all hear, you know, it's tough to come off the street and learn a defensive system and contribute right away, and yet McKenzie comes in, McAllister comes in, and make plays.
I'd say McKenzie. I thought McKenzie was one of the better players on the field.
Yeah. McKenzie was alternately all pro like, and then he couldn't seem to cover Sam Aiken. Though.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
No, but
well, he only had so much in the tank, so he revved it up when Moss or
but a veteran play at the end on the 4th and 3, where you know they went to Moss. McKenzie knows he's got a blitz coming, so I'll be able to take a chance because Brady's not going to be able to wait.
And they did the same thing they did in Indy. They ran it right past the sticks, where as soon as I see Moss break, now sure, it could be an out and up, but they're going to get a first
down. But I know there's a blitz coming.
And McKenzie says, you know what, if he catches it for a first down, it's a first down and goal inside the 5. Who cares?
I think
if
it's he goes the exact same play.
Tip your cap to him and give him the touchdown, he's scoring anyway.
He sold out and benefited.
That's the
from
point
it.
I was trying to make with the Indy fourth downs. They weren't concerned with double moves. They were just jumping everything.
Right.
You know, in that situation. If they made a double move and beat him with it, so be it. It doesn't matter. You can't let him catch an out at the sticks.
Right.
Couldn't.
Right.
And that was kind of a similar situation with it. With all the big plays that Brees made and in the offense made, I was most impressed with their last drive, which, you know, the last scoring drive, when they handed the ball off to Thomas for 4, they handed the ball off to Bell for 3 or whatever, you know, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, you know, 6 yard out to Meacham, first down, wash, rinse, repeat,
right,
and
right.
do it again. And, you know, they made a couple of, you know, good play. You know, I think the touchdown on that drive was a 20-yarder to Colston. And I think they had another play somewhere earlier in that drive that was a sizable chunk of yardage. But they also showed you, hey, we could take 3 plays to get a first down, too. If you want to make us do that, we can do that.
Well, it wouldn't take them 3 plays because they averaged 9.6 per play.
Right. But on that drive, they converted because they were actually like 1 for 4 on 3rd down. Like going into the 4th quarter.
Right.
It was amazing.
Because they never got there.
Because they never got there, and the ones that they did have, they didn't convert.
Well, you know, it reminded me, you know, like the Saints had such success on first down. It was uncanny what they were doing on first down. And it reminded me a long time ago, back in the 70s, Monday Night Football came out with this home version of the game, and it was like a stadium, and one person would sit on one side of the stadium, the other person would sit on the other, and you'd have these play cards that you would slide in, and the defense would slide their card out, and they'd match up to tell you what the result is, and then you'd move your guy on the board. And I would play my dad, and he would try to play traditional football. So first down, he'd play run defense, and I'd go for a long pass every time and win because he's trying to play traditional football, and I wouldn't do that. And it's almost like
he didn't scout you and know that's what you did.
And it just reminded me that it's almost like the Patriots tried to play traditional first down football, and the Saints said, screw that. You know, we're gonna get you, you know, we're gonna screw you up on first down. And the Patriots just, I don't know, because it was just so out of the norm or whatever. They weren't, they just freaked out. They
definitely freaked out.
Yeah.
I definitely got that sense.
I was as flustered as I've seen the Patriots.
It snowballed.
In a long time.
And, you know, I saw I didn't actually hear Wilfork say it, but I saw Belichick referenced Wilfork saying that they didn't do a good job of putting the previous play in the rearview mirror.
And there was definitely a domino effect.
I never said that.
Yes, and that's,
you know, talk about Brady's interception early on, that instead of 14-3, you know, it becomes, you know, 10-3, whatever.
I was talking more defensive, though. It did have, it had the snowball effect on defense. It felt like they were still trying to figure out what happened on the previous play rather than just saying, that's over, we got to stop the next play.
Exactly.
Belichick referenced that quote from Vince?
Yes, he did. He agreed with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Vince didn't say they did a bad job of doing that. He said one of the things that's really hard is putting the play behind you. And actually, Mike Reese, several questions later, asked Vince as a follow-up on that, do you think that was a problem? And he said, no, that's not what I'm saying, but that's very hard to do sometimes. So I would just...
Bill kind of made it sound like Vince had said it was a problem.
Well, now that I'm thinking that it probably was a problem, because Vince kind of brought it up unsolicited. And I had that quote in my analysis. It was a long quote about one thing defensively that we always try to do, and it's hard to do, is put the last play behind you. You don't want to go to the sideline. And he actually said, mother effing everybody. Basically, he was saying you don't want to be finger pointing.
Right.
And he went through a long thing. He never said that was happening. He just said it was hard to do.
Right.
And then later, Mike asked him a follow-up, are you saying that was a problem? And he said, no, that's not what I'm saying. But I think it may have been what he was saying. But then he realized, I don't want to
I'm
be.
I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pointing.
I would go with Bill on that, you know, obviously, over Vince.
And I also, it was not funny, but did you see how many times Pease, Belichick, and Casario all referenced 8 plays we gave up 300 yards?
Well, that's all you gave them an opportunity to do.
And I'm thinking, to me, you take out those 8 plays for 300 yards. We were competitive.
Things drive me as crazy as that in football.
It was like that Tennessee game. Few years, what was that, 05?
Yeah.
Well,
this was like really a spotlight of that because...
How many big plays do you want them to have?
Why are you assuming
300 yards? That's 40 yards. I mean, how many can you possibly have?
Right. It's like if they started.
Why are you assuming if they didn't get those big plays, they wouldn't have scored?
Right.
You know, it's like they say, you know, all the time, you know, oh, they got a big play. Wes Welker returned a punt, all, you know, 69 yards to the 4-yard line. They scored a touchdown. Well, you can't make the assumption that Indy would have stopped them if they, you know, it was a fair catch and the Patriots would have had to drive 70 yards.
It infuriates. It's like, you know, if they started at the 20 and they had the first play from scrimmage and the guy runs for 80 yards for a touchdown and say, well, we did well against the pass. You didn't give him a chance to pass.
Right.
You know?
But,
I mean,
it was a bad day.
They threw the ball 23 times for 371 yards.
That's the bottom
line. Over 16 per attempt.
No, but they're saying it was 13 times for 70 yards or something.
And by the way, two of the incompletions were wide open.
Yeah.
Wide open. One would have been another one of those big plays that Andy was talking about to meet him.
Now, that is the part that should worry people the most, but at the same time give us a little bit of, you know, not confidence, but you should be a little bit less concerned the fact that they were such mental errors. We've seen quarterbacks.
So it's an aberration.
Yeah, we've seen quarterbacks throw on this team. But the guy's a step behind.
I'm talking about the big play.
We haven't seen this type of
crap. Is the big play an aberration? Yeah. This team had done a good job
all year of
not giving up big
plays. I would wholeheartedly
Last year, they gave up big plays for a stretch consistently. They weren't very good at it.
I think Breeze is, and I wrote it, I think he's playing better right now than Peyton Manning is.
I don't believe that.
I think he is.
He certainly did Monday night.
Well, only because he's got more weapons. You know,
I think Manning is winning games by himself every week.
You know, at least from this game. You know, we don't get to see him every week. But it looks like he has total command of his playbook and his players.
He certainly did Monday night. That was as impressive a quarterback performance as I've seen.
And as a quarterback, once you have that total command, knowing where guys are going to be without having to look, that's when you get it. That's when the light bulb and starts to come easy to you.
And that's why I referenced the 75-yarder. The inclination is to just go right at it, but he looks off. He has the balls, whatever.
He knows what's going on.
Shockey's got to pick that up. I'm going to
turn
have
to
this
touchdown. Right.
Now, along those lines, we've always said that Brady is that same type of player, especially with guys like Welker. They're such on the same page. But now we've seen on a few, going back to the Denver game when he hit Welker in the leg, and in this game where on the interception, it looked like Moss thought something and broke off the route and started heading downfield. And Brady, I don't know if Moss did that before Brady threw the ball or as Brady was throwing the ball, but certainly they were not on the same page again, you know, on this play.
Bill said yesterday that it was a broken play, and that was the reason for the interception and the miscommunication.
Well, I don't
but
know.
But there was a miscommunication.
Yeah, it was a broken play.
Yeah, that's what it looked
it
like.
Didn't
that's,
work out.
That's Fred's point. It's the opposite of the Saints, where they're on the same, all on the same page, Brees in control, and this offense isn't like, or wasn't
that
night.
It's just like the big play that they did make. Brady to Moss for 47 was the same thing.
He was going to his left flat-footed and threw it up right.
That was a broken play, and Moss broke open on the broken play, and Brady found it because that's what Brady
raised his hand on that play.
They had missed opportunities. There was one early where Moss went deep, and I think he had him, and I kind of thought that Brady decided, I can't reach him. It would have been like a 65-yard pass in the air.
Well, did you see the one play where Moss, Patriots were going to our left, Moss was lined up on the slot on the far side of us. He goes out on slant toward the sideline. No one even covered him. And then he had his back to Brady. And then he cut back toward the middle of the field, and that's when someone covered him. It was unbelievable. No one even covered Moss going out.
They're not clicking right now.
Saints certainly weren't.
Clearly took away Moss and Welker. That's what they wanted to do. You know, Moss said various times they doubled me, various times they doubled Wes. And that left Sam Aiken as your top target. And then at one point, you know, that one drive, it was Watson, Stanbeck, Watson, where they threw to Stanbeck deep down the right sideline and two passes to Watson down the middle, which to me were just crying for a Darren Sharper pick six because they were trying to get it over the top and Sharper was there. One of them bounced off his face or whatever, I think would have been a pick six.
Right.
They just, as much as the Saints were in sync, the Patriots were out of sync.
Yeah. What the hell is going on with Chris Baker?
I don't know.
I mean,
the only thing I could think is that they clearly think that all he is a blocker.
And well, if you look at it, he wasn't overly athletic and fast.
But he's caught passes in the past.
But I think he can catch passes. But even as we saw him, we envisioned him as a traditional tight end, a guy who's going to catch it 8 yards down the middle of the field.
That's all I'm looking for.
Well, maybe
I'll take it.
Aren't willing to settle for
that
right now.
I'm looking for options for Brady. I'm looking for options when they do what they did to Welker and Moss.
That's a good point.
There's other guys to throw the ball to. That's all I'm looking for.
That's a good point because they've been starving for a complimentary guy all year. Why not let Watson or Baker be more of that complimentary guy? Stop trying to do it with wide receivers that you don't have and just do that. Just do 8-yard passes to those guys.
You know, what happened to the tight end is the quarterback's best friend. The reason for that is because he's a guy you can lean on when everything else is
not
there.
But I'm not an offensive coordinator or genius, but I mean, isn't that Wes Welker's game, the middle short?
But
so what do you do with Chris Baker if he's a middle short guy?
I know, but good teams can take away certain things. All good teams can do that. So when they do, you have to have a backup.
Well, I'm talking about Baker in particular. Monday. If Welker's money is made in the middle of the field, short passes, middle, and they're taking him away there, if you just run Chris Baker there and say, we're going to use a traditional tight end who's just going to run an 8-yard stop down the seam, well, they can kind of cover two birds with one stone.
No, but don't.
Maybe
do
they're
that.
Saying look, we need athleticism. We need Watson over the top.
I know,
top
but
to
that
get
middle of the
yards.
Field develops rather quickly. If it's not there, Baker can break off from his blocking duties and just dump it off to him or something. I mean,
see, I just
this got
to
be
sure
a
it
way,
all melds
there
together.
There has to be something in the playbook that this is when they take away Welker. This is what we do,
right?
You know?
And I think it's get Aiken and Watson involved as intermediate receivers.
Aiken. That's a problem.
I know it's a problem, but it's been a problem all year.
Isaiah Stanback.
You can only you have a team you built. You have to use the weapons you have. And all I'm saying is I think when Moss is taken away and Welker's taken away, they look for an intermediate receiver because that's the place on the field theoretically that's going to be open with Moss deep and Welker underneath. And I don't know that Chris Baker's an intermediate guy. I think he's kind of a short guy. Whereas maybe Watson, for what he is athletic enough to be an intermediate weapon. He hasn't really worked out, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's not clicking. Yeah. I'm sure they're searching for the same answers, right?
I mean,
Brady said that. We're all searching for the answers.
Despite playing sloppily, they actually move the ball at times against the Saints, you know?
Yeah. They just never really looked.
The game started really well.
Yeah.
They just never really looked right. Even I thought their first drive, the 14-play drive, which was an impressive drive for the touchdown to take the 7-3 lead, you know, they had two fourth downs on that drive that they had to convert. Didn't look like themselves.
Didn't look like they were ready for a shootout.
And it got worse as the game went on. That was the best that they did all night. It kind of got worse from there. Obviously, the Brady pick to McKenzie was a huge turning point.
Oh.
Because that may have allowed them to get a 10-3 lead or a 14-3 lead.
Right.
And who knows? And personally, I'm with Andy. I think they would have lost 58-38
right.
if it came to that.
Sure.
But you had a chance, I thought, to continue pounding the ball with Maroney and Morris and maybe two tight ends and shorten the game a little
exactly.
bit.
Exactly.
And they didn't. They came out empty
which
on that
which we thought
play.
That's what the plan was
and
going
was
in.
Talking to our guy Mike Reese about that a little bit earlier, and he said the same thing. You know, just they had a chance to maybe shorten the game a little bit, and it was almost like they were defiantly thinking their offense was maybe better than it is.
Right.
You know, the Welker thing is all this, like, you know, you said good teams will find a way to kind of contain something. And
right.
this team found – I'm not sure that this is the team that would have been a candidate for that.
Right.
You know, with the three top cornerbacks out.
Out. Yep.
You know, by early in the game, Randall Gay was out of the game, and they were without their two starters. Now you have a rookie in Malcolm Jenkins. You know, pretty good players in Chris McAllister and Mike McKenzie, but old players who have been out of football for 10 weeks.
Yep.
And that's the group that limited Wes Welker to less than 6 yards
yeah,
a catch.
I think I
didn't pay attention, but was Vilma a part of that? I mean, he's a pretty athletic, fast linebacker.
Yeah, he
linebacker.
Was in there.
He probably was. I wish I had kept a little bit tighter, closer eye on that, Andy. That's probably a good point with that.
I think that's something
that
he
athletic,
should be able to help
that
with. Yeah.
Athletic inside linebacker, maybe dropping. They did a great job of tackling too. I mean, they made some good hits
and they got pressure on Brady. And I think
I thought that was huge.
I think Brady
the
had
pressure
happy.
Is
one sack. But
I think
the
Brady
pressure
was
huge.
Yeah.
The pressure. If you, that's the way to beat the Patriots offense, if you can't get pressure with four guys, you can't stop that offense. If you have to blitz constantly, like the Jets have to do, eventually you'll get burned.
Right.
And you know the only reason why they didn't get burned doing that in week two was because
Welker wasn't there,
and they just weren't
right.
in sync.
Right.
Yet.
Right. No, I think that Brady looked, you know, not confused, but I think he looked worried every time he went back, and even you know they only sacked him once, but they got to
he
him a lot.
He took some big hits in that.
And
game.
He had to move. He had to move
he was
around,
moving around
a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
No question.
You know. So.
Matter
but
of fact,
you just said they weren't in sync at that point. I would argue maybe they're not in sync now.
No, well,
maybe there is no in sync for this offense this year.
No, you might be right.
Against decent competition.
You know, but you talked about
the,
you know
snow,
moving around
okay.
a lot, too, and you know the cumulative effect of that. You know, that fourth and four at the end, we all agree they should have gone for a touchdown. They were down 14. Some people said that was a bad
no call
by Belichick.
Call.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I think that was a great call by Belichick.
They were down infinity in my mind.
But, you know, They blitzed on that, but that was one of the few blitzes that New Orleans did. And you said that McKenzie knows it's a blitz, so he was tight. But they actually picked it up. They did a pretty good job of picking that blitz up, but Tom knew that was coming.
Right.
And he kind of had the quick feet and threw the ball out quick
right.
there. And
right.
that's the cumulative effect of I've had guys in my face all night.
Yeah.
I'm getting hit after I throw every time. Now they're coming. I don't have time. It's
you know,
fourth
and,
down.
And Fred Smirlis was on last night, you know, before they interviewed. And he said one of the – usually I don't listen to him, but he was actually said something that made a lot of sense. A running quarterback would have really helped in that particular game because, you know, by focusing so much on Welker and having to, you know, deal with that in the middle of the field, there was space to run if you wanted to. And that's the way you keep the chains mm-hmm. moving in a game like that when you're under pressure and you're having trouble because Brady was able to step up. But, you know, that was it. Then there was nothing, nowhere to go. You step up and start running. Now you have to, now that you're keeping the defense honest a little
but
bit.
But he can't. I mean, that's just not him.
Well,
he's got no chance.
I think he might have a little bit.
No chance.
Yeah.
Was it last week where there was a first down and he started to run and a guy just caught him from behind and tackled him?
He can't.
He's the slowest guy on the planet.
No,
he can't run anymore.
But that, I think
he couldn't
that,
run to begin with.
That could have made
anymore.
A difference if you had a quarterback who could run.
Right.
Against
you,
that type of defense.
You don't. You have a Hall of Famer who can't.
Right.
So you got to find a different difference.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with your phone calls and emails.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got Razor Sharp Fios TV from Verizon. So I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAT subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
Just found out American Airlines flies to more than 250 cities in 40 countries. That's a lot of flying. So basically, that's 250 different things that I can put on my out-of-office auto reply. Why, I could say, island hopping in Hawaii, returning Friday. This is going to be fun. Better yet, swimming with whale sharks in Cancun and back on... Wait, that sounds dangerous. Oh, I know. How about samba dancing in Rio back on Monday? Wish you were here. Well, not really. But with flights to over 250 cities in 40 countries, it's easy to get wherever I want to go on American. Even if it just happens to be sales meeting in Des Moines, back tomorrow.
What will you put on your out-of-office reply? 250 cities, 40 countries, unlimited possibilities. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The Patriots are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you can too at the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop is the place to find all the official 50th season merchandise. Everything from the 1963 jerseys the players are wearing this season to polos, sweatshirts, and hats featuring the original Pat Patriot logo. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots merchandise, including many 50th season items that you won't find anywhere else. Located next to Gillette Stadium at Patriot Place, the Patriots Pro Shop is open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day at PatriotsProShop.com. And if you order from PatriotsProShop.com, we'll ship your order for just $5. You'll know it's authentic when you order from PatriotsProShop.com because your item is being shipped from Gillette Stadium. Celebrate 50 years of Patriots football at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Fred.
Yeah. Are your sources telling you that the report that Dolphin Stadium is going to become Landshark Field, is that accurate?
I heard that too. What is Landshark? Is that a company now?
Lager. It's a beer.
It's one of Jimmy Buffett's beers.
That's cool.
He has
Dolphins
a role with the team
play
now?
At Landshark.
Yeah, it is. That is weird. Because the shark isn't a dolphin. One's a mammal. Right. One's a mammal and the other's a fish. Right?
That's many... class record. A shark's not a dolphin.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
All right. Back here in PFW in progress.
That is the very definition of a fun fact.
Well, I had a little incident in the hotel bathroom in my room.
Uh-oh.
I did a little man grooming in the tub, and I clogged up the tub.
Wait, you brought your thing with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
My wife won't let me use it at home.
What's it called again? The back?
You know, the man groomer.
Oh, the man groomer?
Yeah.
So you shave just your back or other grooming?
Well, you do.
Yeah, use your imagination.
You make sure
I don't
want to
talk about
the
it
edges,
anymore.
The drapes.
You freshen up a little.
Carpet.
So.
What is wrong with you?
How hairy are you?
Well, it wasn't. I think there was a problem to begin with.
Did you poop too?
No.
Oh, you bored? You just had nothing else to do?
Well, yeah. We had a long layover. It all day.
I went to the gym. You shaved your body.
I wrote a preview.
I probably lost more pounds than you did.
Probably if you jammed up
line your ass
the brain.
Another good point by Fred.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. On the phone right now is Kevin from Reading. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Go Rockets.
Originally not from Reading, so originally from Marshfield.
Go Rams.
Move. You went from the South Shore to the North Shore.
Yeah, the North Shore is better.
Thank you very much. As someone who started in the wrong place, ended up in the right place.
Now, what makes the North Shore better than the South Shore in Massachusetts?
Well, for the last 15 years, all my jobs, I've had to work north of the city. So I got tired of the two-hour commute from the South Shore.
Oh.
Plus, Route 3 is just a disaster all the time. Okay. Hey, the thing about Brady scrambling, Fred?
Yeah.
I think Smallis got that from John Gruden during the telecast.
Oh, did he?
All right. Gruden pointed that out.
I'm glad that you pointed that out because we don't get to see the telecast, and those are the kinds of things you wonder, hey, I wonder, that's a pretty good point. I wonder where he came up with it.
Well,
there you go.
So they must have saw the open field while they were, yeah.
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 Now, I was actually so frustrated watching this game after the game. I sat down and wrote out notes, talking points. But of course, I'm in my car now, and I forgot them back at the office. So one of the things I was really impressed with was the Saints, the design of the plays, in particular the Dave Thomas play.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when he caught that that fake screen, the way they designed that, and I stopped and I paused it and I rewatched that play, is they faked it. They faked it left. They faked it right. Thomas came out, looked like he was blocking, and then kind of just tailed off to the middle of the field. And I just really liked that design design of that play. And to be honest, I'm not a guy that says bring back Charlie Weiss, but when Weiss was here, is it just my imagination, or are those type of things you would see more? Now it's now their offense is more, I think it's more straightforward. Here's Welker and Moss, and we're going to beat you with these guys doing what they do. Is that just my imagination, or do you guys think that's somewhat true?
I think it's more Moss Welker heavy. I think that they still screen a lot, but it's more wide receiver and exterior screens rather than interior. Kevin Falk, they used to run tight end screens at times with Daniel Graham and Ben Watson. I think it may be a little bit less diverse or equally as diverse but in a different way. Because I do think they've gotten away from some of the types of a play like that. I think you used to see from them a double fake screen and things like that. I'm not sure we have as many of those now.
I agree with you, Kevin and Andy, about the reliance on Moss and Welker, and more so than in the past. And the only question I would have about that is if Charlie had Moss and Welker, how much would he have been doing those different things, and how much would he have been relying on the stars? And I think it was easy for Brady to have the cute little, you know, my favorite receiver is the open one, when one day it's Deion Branch, the next day it's David Givens, the next day it's Troy Brown, the next day it's Benjamin Watson, because they didn't have a standout all-pro like Randy Moss. Well, now I think everything goes through Moss. Now, I don't know, you could argue to the death which one is better. I would say this offense is more productive than those offenses were.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe they become a little bit easier to stop when you get a team that has the ability to do so.
I mean,
let's remember,
back in the day, you know, when they were winning Super Bowls, and Brady wasn't always throwing for 300 yards a game.
No.
You know, 230, 250 was an average day for him. That's what he was doing.
But they had a better defense.
But they had a better defense. Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, and I really wish I had those notes, because there was a real lot of wisdom.
Because it was good stuff.
A lot of wisdom.
But the other thing, too, and I'd like to see this philosophy change, where take a look at the biggest problem with this team, I think, is their line. They get no pass rush. Now, I love Warren. I love Vince Wilfork. Seymour, the first 5 years, was great. But even if Seymour was here, I don't think they would be getting much of a pass rush. Because if you think back to some of the bad losses they've had over the last couple of years, Seymour was in those games, and he would show up every now and then, but he wasn't a consistent threat, not like a Dwight Freeney, a Mathis, or any of those kind of smaller line guys. I would just like to see the Pats go out in the draft and get a guy, even if he's 6'2", 250, just a guy that can go and get it, you know?
I think we all would.
No,
And you may. I mean, they're playing enough four-man fronts where maybe they decide – those are the kind of pass rushers you get, are the undersized defensive ends. We're in enough four-man fronts where we can use him, and there's value there for us as a team. They still obviously do the 3-4, but maybe they've just decided the way they've done it and drafted personnel, there's not enough of those guys.
But even the 3-4, how many times in the years ago would you see Vrabel line up as a down position? Like, you can
quite a bit. Oh, yeah, most of the pass rushing out of a 3-4, those guys end up as down rushers, edge rushers.
You know, like, I have a hard – if Dwight Freeney fell into their laps, I'd have a hard time believing they couldn't incorporate him into their system.
Oh, I think they would, but it would have to be in some four-man fronts. It would have to be sort of tailored to him. But my point is, they're already in those fronts, but the guys they're using are Derek Burgess and Tully Bantakane. I'd like to see them do the same thing with an elite player in that position.
How did Burgess not – tackle or push that guy out on that play?
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
you want to know what was funny about that play? when it was happening, after just after it was over, Andy and I looked at each other at the same time and said, if Reggie, if that, when the ball was in the air, we were thinking, if that was Reggie Bush, that would be a touchdown.
It wasn't
Figuring
Bush,
it was Pierre Thomas, right. And he probably wouldn't be able to do what he did.
No,
but he did.
I saw Burgess, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's got the angle. He'll get him.
He didn't.
Yeah. It'll be a 2-yard loss. Boom. Touchdown.
Yeah, that was... The only good thing on that play, I thought it was impressive that Vince Wilfork dove across the screen at, like, the 4-yard line trying to make a play.
And he was getting ripped from missing the tackle.
That's the problem with this defense right now. The only playmaker and good player they have is Vince Wilfork,
your nose tackle.
You're kind of limited in what he can
do. And they knew that. By the way, they did a pretty good job on him.
Yeah, a lot of people still made plays.
I heard a lot of complaints.
You know what they did to him in the running game is they ran a lot of counters. They misdirected him and got him going the wrong way, and that's easier to seal him coming back. Remember the play that I was telling you about? It was off tackle to the left, and the whole play started to the
right,
and it was all bottled up, but it was supposed to go, and it, all of a sudden it was like a routine 5-yard gain, but he went through a gaping hole on the, and luckily for the Patriots, they had some secondary
help. That's the
problem.
When your nose tackle is, if they're targeting him, if they're trying to take him, as Bill says, you can take anything away if you try. Well, there's no one else to step up and make a play, and Fred, I said to you, sooner or later, the honeymoon period needs to end for Mayo at middle linebacker. He's supposed to be an impact player, and I just don't see the impact.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see him enough in this game. He should be, you know, he did lead in tackles, I think.
Yeah, but so did Eric Alexander in the 2006 AFC title game.
One last thing. On some of those long passes, too, you know, those defensive backs, I don't think as a collective unit you could play any worse than those guys played. There were times on some of those passes, it was one to Colson, and Merriweather was over there. He was behind. It was the one when Willite was kind of stumbling and falling and his arms waving in the air as he couldn't gain his balance. Merriweather was over there to make the play, and Colson just cut back. And there was a bunch of plays like that where you had a guy there, and for whatever reason, they didn't make the play. It was like times when they were over-aggressive and times when they were too passive.
Yeah, I agree.
It's because they were scrambling.
They were giving too much cushion at times, and then they weren't closing well enough to limit the big play at the same time. And that doesn't make sense. You figure if you're off the guy, you're going to make the tackle when he catches it. But there was enough that – and they weren't even, like, broken tackles. They weren't really even missed tackles. There was – like, Colston had enough time on that 68-yard play to catch the ball, cut back, and he barely got touched by Merriweather or Will Hite.
Yeah, Merriweather, there was a lot of talk of Merriweather being a big Pro Bowl-type guy. What Merriweather's going to be is a good safety. He's not going to be spectacular. He's a safety. Yeah, you got to have other playmakers on the defense. You know, he's good enough to win a championship with, but he's no Ed Reed. He's no Steelers. Who's the guy?
Paul Amalu.
You know, he's
boy,
good.
You really do need your notes.
I got the Fred disease with me. All right, guys.
Well, thanks, awesome. Kevin.
Take it easy.
All right. Good stuff. Kevin from Reading.
Hey, you know, he brought up something.
The need for James Sanders?
Talking about the pass rush and you know, if you had a Dwight Freeney or smaller guys or whatever. And Felger was talking about this yesterday on his show. We brought up Smerlis. I don't know if you guys caught it, but he was talking about
break.
Is the style maybe has it seen its better day? You know, with the bigger 3-4, 2-gap run stuffers, has that style sort of, because not too many teams play base defense anymore.
Right.
So
I think you're seeing Bill go kind of towards that or away from that.
But now they don't have the personnel necessarily to go the other way.
Right. Well, that's what a transition phase is. I think he's kind of, we started talking about it like 5 years ago when he started to acknowledge that maybe the inside linebackers can be John Beeson and Jonathan Vilma and some of these speed-based guys because that's the direction the game's going. I don't need Ted Johnson. I don't need a guy that's going to bang heads with the guards. I need a guy who can drop into coverage some, get athletic to the outside for screens. I think that was kind of the first step in the process. Now, maybe it has to take 4 big steps pretty quickly here, but I think he's kind of going in that direction.
But yet, on the outside, he hasn't seemed willing to do that, and we saw that in the draft when we had such an emphasis on, well, Larry English is this kind of player, and who's the other guy? Everett Brown is this kind of player, but they don't fit the prototype.
Right.
You know, there were very few 6'4 guys who ran 4.6s, I think was
the quote.
Bill's cute little quote. And I would say, well,
maybe there's just very few 6'4 guys that run 4.6s.
Dwight Freeney is neither of those, and, right. and I think that Bill today would take him knowing what he knows about him.
Right.
Now, I don't think there's any chance he would draft a Dwight Freeney coming out of college right now, but seeing what he's done at the pro level, I think you'd be interested in acquiring a guy
See,
like
I'm
that.
I'm not so sure, though. I think he might be transitioning.
Well, I hope he is.
I think he might
because
be saying,
I think that's the
okay,
kind of
Tully
playmaker.
Tully Vantakane has been my best rusher so far. Well, what if I had the same exact defense with the same exact scheme and put Dwight Freeney in that position? Maybe we would be better off that way. I think it might be trending in that direction.
Okay, Dave O is a disappointed Pats fan stuck in Indianapolis. He says he's stunned. He can't believe the pathetic performance. I should have known it was not going to go well when Bill had that perplexed, bewildered look at his face. He looked like he was asking himself, how long is this game? I mean, come on. The Saints look like the 07 Patriots. They just steamrolled them.
How long are we
Missed
on?
Tackles. Maroney fumbled again, although the guy was playing hard. And no one, I mean no one, was getting to Breeze at all. Where's the pass rush? I'm so disappointed right now. There's no adjustments made, and there never seems to be a sense of determination or urgency with this team, coaching as well. These guys need to win out, or they can just kiss the postseason goodbye.
Wow.
So there.
11-5 won't get you in? 11-5 will get you in.
You know?
11-5 will get you in.
Carl says it's not time to panic. It was an ugly loss and probably the worst defense that this team has played in the Belichick era. What this defense needs is a veteran cornerback or safety that really wants to win a Super Bowl. We need someone who is nearing the end of their career but
Sean
can play, still play Same. At a high level. The Saints had
Lee
one thing
old,
that the Patriots didn't, and that was confidence. Mike McKenzie played like he had been playing there for his career, while our corners looked like they never played an NFL game. What the Patriots really lack is that smash-mouth mentality on defense that Rodney Harrison and Teddy Bruschi both brought. If Mayo or Merriweather and the rest of the defense don't step up and bring that mentality, then their season will end earlier than they want it to.
I do think there's a lacking of something non-tangible on this team right now and on this defense in particular. And I thought it was interesting. Will Fork made a play and really celebrated.
Yeah.
And I didn't take it as Ellis Hobbs-like. I took it more like he was trying to be a spark, trying to right. create some sort of momentum defensively. And I actually thought Kevin Falk did the same thing. He had a short reception, and he bounced up and kind of celebrated.
Yeah.
And I got the vibe that two guys that aren't, I don't necessarily pigeonhole them in that type of a role.
Right.
As captains were saying,
come on, let's
yeah.
go.
And rather than saying it, they tried to do it,
yeah.
kind of express it
right.
in a physical
that's,
sense.
That's a good observation.
And I do think that's lacking. And, yeah. you know, Mayo talked about how he took some responsibility as the middle linebacker in the communication. I think he needs to take on that evolution was talked about all offseason, the passing yeah. of the torch, Bruschi, everything. Well, he needs to take the torch and turn it up higher or do something with
Plus,
it.
Plus, they need to shave the beards.
You think the beard's got to go?
Yeah. That can't be comfortable, playing with the chin strap and those beards. That's not good.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you.
It's not comfortable playing with a chin strap when you shave, either. If you shave too soon and then put the chin strap,
oh,
it gets very itchy.
Yeah, but they have those new chin straps that are very comfortable.
I don't think so. That's why you see a lot of guys put the wristband over them to create
a
barrier.
Well, some no.
Or well,
they make
it.
It
started
way.
Out as wristbands. They may now,
yeah, now they have
make
they
us. Make but it started out as guys just putting a wristband
yeah.
over their chin strap.
Yeah. Salim in D.C. says, "Guess who was on the street? Our boy Charlie Weiss. Any chance he comes back? I think it would be a good move because we don't have anyone to call offensive plays. Tom Brady was looking at his wristband a lot in the Saints game. Got the feeling he was calling his own plays. On a completely different note, I'm now convinced that Darren Sharper deserves the MVP. Feel free to disagree like I know you will."
I think he's in the handful of guys in the discussion. Sorry to disappoint you.
They're a great
Absolutely.
Team because their defense is better,
yeah.
and their defense looks like it's better
because
Darren Sharper,
Sharper
plays for it.
Yeah. I think that he's certainly in a small handful of
guys. I think
guys.
Favre's going to win it.
Yeah, it's tough to give a
well,
safety.
No, I mean, you know. I mean defensive.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
okay.
I think for MVP to be a defensive guy, it has to be just an out-of-this-world
performance. Ray Lewis.
He would have had to do what he did for 6 weeks over 16. He would have had to every week be running back a pick for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Favre Favre still has 3 picks.
He's going to win the MVP.
It's unbelievable.
And I can't
yeah.
wait
Plus,
to
you
shove
know
that
the,
down Eric's throat.
You know what the media is going to do with that, too. I mean, they just love the guy even when
sure.
he's throwing 20 picks. He's only got 3.
So he's going to have the cleanest testicles this side of the Mississippi.
This
no
side of you.
No doubt. No doubt.
Matt from BU finds it funny that the Jets brought in Mike Girardi to teach Mark Sanchez how to slide.
Joe.
And Girardi. Oh, what his name is? Joe? I think that was kind of comical myself.
I didn't know about it. Yeah.
They brought in Joe Girardi.
Girardi.
To practice to teach Mark Sanchez how to slide.
Okay, whatever it takes. The guy doesn't know how to slide.
Oh, come on.
I think Joe, personally, I would have taken a guy from baseball who knew what he was doing.
Right.
Joe Girardi's not that guy.
Wow.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean,
I find
why
it
would
amazing
you pick Joe
that,
Girardi? Like, if you were really looking
retired
for
a
retired catcher, like, okay, Ricky Henderson, or you want to take somebody who made their career on the base paths and sliding, or whoever the Tom Shaw is of baseball running.
I just didn't
coaches.
Realize it was a skill that necessarily needed to be taught
right.
at the pro level.
Good God.
That's pretty stupid.
I do remember learning in high school.
Yeah,
in the winter inside, they'd put those big mats down or something.
That's just kind of the practice.
I think I could slide. I think I could go out there today and slide.
That's funny. I think you would be the guy who'd catch a toe or a knee and then tumble, roll over three times.
Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Good news. November is over, and it's after Thanksgiving. Bad news. Monday's game was after Thanksgiving, and we were supposed to be playing our best ball.
And about an hour before it turned December, we were getting blitzed.
And but we also used to include November and December as when right. the Patriots played better. Now right. it's just December.
Well,
soon it'll just be luckily it's January 3rd.
Right, we'll count that January.
There's a lot of silver linings, says Scott. Sean, I'm sorry. Let's go back to 05. The Steelers got blown out in Indy the Monday after Thanksgiving, and guess what? They went back to Indy, won all their games on the road, and won the Super Bowl. The Colts in 06 had probably the worst run in defense the month of December, finished 12-4 after 9-0, won three games, including the AFC title game against us, and won the Super Bowl. The Giants, well, do we need to go there? Last year, the Cardinals tanked it in December and then got a run to go to the Super Bowl. Point is, all is not lost. And we still have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and I like their chances in December to get things right. However, there are more questions than answers. Like, who is the third option on Sunday when the Dolphins double-team both Moss and Welker? Sam Aiken? Or has Dwayne Starks been vilified by the biggest offseason bust, as now that mantle belongs to Adalys Thomas, although Derek Burgess is not far behind? I don't think the secondary is the major concern on Monday. It was communication and pass rush. One comes with experience. Mayo is new in that role, so mistakes tend to happen. The pass rush, well, unless Andre Tippett is suiting up on Sunday, I don't know where it's coming from this year. My question to you is, Belichick just now content this year to pull a Parcells and just make the so-called tournament and just see what happens because he thinks Brady will carry them in January? First thing is first, Miami historically is a house of horrors for us, but we should be able to just focus on Williams and let Henny beat us. I think they bounce back and win 38-10 and then focus on the bye, which is not out of reach yet. That is the topic for next week. Sean's take.
I don't think the Miami game is going to be anywhere near that easy.
I do, kind of.
I think they're going to win it, but I don't think they're going to win 38-10.
Yeah, I mean, Miami figures out a way to keep it close.
I don't think they will.
Maybe it's one of those games. They've had a couple of 40-plus point games down there recently. Maybe it's one of those.
I agree.
Right?
I think it's going to play out just
but
like
I don't,
you said.
I don't think
they're going
to
focus on stopping Williams. I don't think Henny has any chance in hell of beating them.
But you think the offense is going to roll 40 points?
I think it's going to be about – well, no, I think it's going to be like 31, right around 30.
I could see that a little bit more than the 40, but we'll see. I don't think it's going to be an easy game.
Why does he not?
And Eric shows up empty-handed. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains!
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game, 5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
keep the change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A., Bank of America N.A., member FDIC, copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Eric's here, and he's wet because he jumped ship.
Oh, I'm glad you added that.
With a burgundy V-neck. Good, Fred.
I'll say it's burgundy, although it's not dark enough for burgundy.
Hey, this seems a little light, even though that's what the company that makes it calls it.
Maybe you
don't care what the company calls it.
Ah, good, Fred.
Maybe you washed it too heavily and took some of the color out.
Playing the role of Eric.
So what's up, Eric? What do you get to report to us? You're an hour late, so you better have some news.
You didn't bring food?
Went to Brady's. Oh, because the soccer guy who was retiring that no one's ever heard of was talking for too long.
Eric was not released yesterday, contrary to some publisher.
Okay, so what did Brady have to say?
Eric's not happy.
He tried his best to steer the questioning towards Miami and coming up, and a lot of people wanted to talk about New Orleans and what happened, and there were some general questions about the offense and how it's performing or not performing, and yeah, that kind of thing. Somebody even brought up Tiger Woods and how that is affecting...
Who? Who?
I think you know who, Paul.
Four!
Who? William Benditson?
No.
Oh.
Paul's other favorite reporter.
Ian Rappaport? I need to side with Rappaport a little here. I don't think it's appropriate for a press conference. No, I do think he is a valid expert witness in the area of tabloids and celebrity and privacy.
Well, he was asked that question on the morning at EEI.
Yeah, I think it's a legitimate question with him in particular.
But, you know, for the most part, Weiss, the subject of Weiss came up and, you know.
Charlie.
Yeah. You know, basically say, you know, I don't make those decisions, but any team that has Charlie would be lucky to have him.
Except for Notre Dame.
Yeah. I talked about...
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean...
It's not true, Tom.
It's not true for them. But I think he was talking more NFL, because the talk was him.
I think that's what Charlie's trying to spin. I'm an NFL coach. Probably. It just didn't work at the college level.
Right. Yeah. Usually it's the other way around. Good college coaches. Right. But whatever.
Al Groh didn't work either. What do they have in common? The Parcellian tree.
Suppose. But, you know, a lot of talk about the second half drought, you know, not being able to score in the second half, not being able to finish games, and
couldn't really start this
game. Okay, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
Second half drought, not being able to score in the second half. Okay, I get it.
I'm just saying that's the line of questioning seemed to gear toward that.
So what were any revealing answers?
No, I mean, come on, he doesn't really ever give revealing answers.
No?
It's not really.
Sometimes when Bill wants him to.
Right.
When the puppeteer pulls the right string.
Yeah. He's still expressing confidence that they can get it turned around in time. And
you know,
turned around implies it's heading in the wrong direction.
Right. Well, that was my question to him was, you know, you have a month left, and a lot of your teammates were using the phrase back to the drawing board after the Saints game. You know, is that enough time, and do they still have confidence that they can win the Super Bowl?
Especially, by the way, when the offense already wrote this storyline a couple weeks ago when he said, early in the year we were trying to be something we weren't. We weren't 07, blah, 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 but we learned what we were.
Right.
Well, now since you've learned what you were,
you have to go back
you're not
to the
good
drawing
enough,
board.
And you're going back to the drawing board. So you're looking for the third incarnation of the Patriots offense in 2009.
So his reply to me was basically, you know, what, you know, the,
shut up.
Who the F are you? Who's the that's the goal
that
at the beginning
Burke
of the season. To make the Super Bowl, but now it's not the goal this week. The goal this week is to beat Miami and play better than we did last week and, you know, the standard company line.
Yeah, they're all saying the same thing. Moss said it like, I forgot how he used the basketball terminology. The 2009-2010 Patriots need to establish who they are as a team. They're all saying the same thing.
But it's December, and the playoffs start in a month, and it's a little late to start establishing things.
The
you
one
need
thing
to have
I
established
say
something
is,
by this point.
There are still five games left. I mean, it's almost a third of a season.
That's what he said, too. He's
kind of like the Giants for a third of the season were great. Now they stink.
Right.
So you could get great in a third of a season.
Yes, on paper. It just doesn't happen very often. The Giants
I know you're
did
down
it in 07,
and think there's no. The Steelers did it, and the Colts did it.
Right. Colts did it. The Cardinals did it.
More often than not, Super Bowl teams in recent memory did it.
Yeah. We spend a lot of the time.
The Cardinals didn't win the Super Bowl.
I know, but they got there.
They got there.
Right.
And you know, I mean, to say that they didn't win the Super Bowl because of the things that happened in the regular season.
I didn't say that, Paul.
See, so what are you saying, Eric?
This is what I wanted.
I'm not confident in this team right now.
You're not confident in the team.
No.
Yeah, we spent a lot of the time at the beginning of the show talking about this topic.
Yeah, you know, it's...
I would be somewhat in the middle of you and Fred, but it's not over, but I think they've gotten to the point where they no longer can take the field secure in the knowledge that they're the best team.
Right. Right. I mean,
you know, in the playoffs, I'm talking about.
Right, exactly. And in the playoffs, they're most likely going to have to play a game or two on the road. And if they can't win on the road, which they've proven, you know, that's been difficult for them this year, the future is bleak for them.
Yeah. But, again, well, the way we talked about it, I'm not sure it's quite that bad, and it's not as rosy as Fred's painting it out to be either. But a lot of things can change between now and then.
Yes, they can.
And I don't necessarily think in terms of the Patriots as much as I do with other teams.
Sure.
Right now, it looks like San Diego's got it rolling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what they have going when the playoffs come around.
I'm not completely convinced that San Diego's a team to beat either. I mean, like I said, they've...
Well, who's the team to beat
them? Well, then who is it?
Indianapolis.
Well, then who else? I mean, so if it gets to the...
Cincinnati.
You think Cincinnati came within one point
on the road against the Colts. Who else?
Cincinnati lost to the
Raiders. I just said Cincinnati.
You really worried about Cincinnati?
You're more worried about the Raiders?
If you have to play Cincinnati on the road, yes, I'm worried about them.
See, I'm not.
Really?
If you have to play any team on the road, that's
any
good.
Any team.
That's good, Fred.
Well, so far,
in
that's
the playoffs,
been the case, but they are 0-4 on the road.
Yeah, they haven't been able to win on the road this year. And if they have to do that in the playoffs... It's going to be trouble.
Yeah, the only team that has a worse road record is Detroit and one other. Yeah, I think the Raiders are one.
That doesn't bode well.
Oh, okay.
Same. There's a couple zero-win road teams.
I'm just trying to look at it realistically. Realistically, they've played good teams on the road. They've had leads at times, but they've blown it. They haven't been able to do it. If they can't get that fixed in time for the playoffs, that doesn't bode well for this team is all I'm
saying.
They're
going to win their last five games.
More than likely, if that happens,
are you going to change your opinion?
No, because none of those teams are good teams.
All right.
I agree with Eric on. Just like I said with Pittsburgh, they have five, you know, they play Cleveland, Oakland, Green Bay. You know, they play some bad teams, and Pittsburgh won't be, have it fixed either if they win the last five, if they unleash hell, the way Mike Tomlin said, in December. To me, that's going to be very plastic. Now, if they can unleash hell, win the games, and get Polamalu back and have Roethlisberger be 100% and all that, maybe that's a team that's more worth you know, worrying about. And let me tell you, there's a possibility. We're talking about going on the road and winning in the postseason. There's a possibility that's the team that you're going to face in your first game
at home.
Because right now Pittsburgh is looking like a 5 or a 6, and the Patriots are looking like a 3 or a 4.
Right.
So there's a chance that
Pittsburgh
is the team that you host. That's going to be
not an easy game.
That'll be a war.
Home or away, that's not.
That'll
an easy
be a
game.
Very physical, tough game. That even if the Patriots win, it's not going to put them in the best standing going to either the 2 or the 1 the following week, and then having to go to whichever one of those they didn't have to go to the week after that should they spring an upset.
So it's over. That's what Eric is saying.
Eric is saying it's over. I'm saying
so, just say it.
Lightning in a bottle.
I think it's over for this year. I think it's over.
Eric thinks it's over.
Yes.
Lightning in a bottle.
The one guy who hasn't picked against the Patriots all year says it's over because of the game.
So I haven't picked against them since I've worked here.
Are you scorned by
that? Is that right?
No.
You mean I've picked against the Patriots more than you have?
I think you
have. Once more. That's
correct. And I'm the homer?
Yes. Because you're not looking at it over.
So I guess I need to edit that drop.
I guess
contrary to popular belief, Eric was released.
But Eric goes from never picking against them to falling off the cliff.
I'm planning a vacation
in
January.
Is this a personal thing?
Personal what?
Are you going to Italy in January?
Are you mad because you picked them and you thought they were going to have a big performance and they let you down Monday night?
No.
Is this a personal thing?
No, it's not.
You sound like a spurned lover.
I'm looking at it.
That's what you sound like.
I'm looking at it objectively. Fred, which is what we're supposed to do in the media.
Yeah, but
no,
you haven't
with
being spurned.
You're a little clouded right now.
You just admitted you haven't looked at it objectively for 4 years. I did not admit that. I just said I haven't picked against them.
I think your vision's a little cloudy right now.
I'm not going to pick them to lose any of these next five games.
You need
because they're not playing teams that I think can beat
you need
them.
A little bit of a cooling down
when it comes
period.
To the playoffs, I might have to pick against
but
them.
But you haven't seen them play a team that you thought could beat them for 4 years.
That's not true. That's not true. I've
just said you haven't picked against them since you. How long have you worked here, seriously?
This is my fourth season. But just because I picked them doesn't necessarily mean I don't think the other team can beat them. I picked them because they're my team. I'm going to pick them. I'm not going to pick against them.
Really? That's not what on this show, you're supposed to say what you honestly feel.
In this
only
case,
Fred can take that approach.
In this case, though, I always pick them to win because they're my team.
And I can't
bring myself to pick
win.
Against them.
You wouldn't pick against them if you didn't think they had a chance.
Under Brady and Belichick, yes, they have a chance to win every game they've ever played.
Oh.
Yes.
Under Brady and Belichick. So you'd keep Brady. You didn't want him to retire.
Forget it. You're such an idiot. We're not going back to that argument. Because you lost that one.
They still have Brady
ago.
And Belichick,
I just want
yet
with
you're
your
saying
quote.
It's over.
Because I'm looking at it objectively, and I don't have confidence that they
but
can turn
said,
this,
with
turn
Brady
this
and
thing
Belichick,
around.
They have a chance to win
they
any
have
game.
A chance, but
so
I'm not.
So why is it over?
Because I've seen how they've played this year, and I'm not confident in them.
With Brady and Belichick?
Even with them, yes. I'm not. I
so
mean, they have a chance.
They don't have a chance.
Of course so they have a chance, Fred,
so
but I'm
not
confident.
It's not over.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you not listening to reason?
I am listening. You're playing both sides of the fence.
Anytime two teams take a field in a sport, both teams have a chance to win.
By Andy. What?
Never mind.
All right, that's
not
it
listening.
Then.
There's a chance, but I don't like their chances.
Okay.
Stand by for
there
the
is a chance.
Talk.
Of course there's a chance.
Okay. It's not over.
Eric is exactly right.
You're being
ridiculous.
I like it.
I'm
don't
enjoying
get me wrong.
It. There's a chance, but it's a slim chance. I don't like their chances.
Okay. I don't agree with his feeling on the fact they don't have a chance, but there's never a game that neither one side or the other doesn't have a chance. So to sit
the
there
NFL.
And say that he thinks it's over,
yeah,
but he thinks there's a chance they could
here
win.
We sat four games and said, like the Jets last week, there's no chance the Jets are going to win that
but
game.
But we all know.
But there was a chance that the Jets could win the game.
I know.
We all know deep
but
down
are you
that on any
stand,
Sunday.
Are you going to sit here this year, let's just say the next five games, and say there's no chance the Patriots are going to win any of those games?
The next
I just
five
said,
games?
I'm
leading the witness.
No, okay. Fred. What I said moments ago
to
was.
Where?
What I said moments ago.
Quiet, Paul,
oh, my
okay.
God.
But the only thing I would argue
what
is.
What I said moments ago,
you
Fred,
only
was
think,
they're not going
to
so probably
go to
lose
Cincinnati
any of the next five
in
games.
In the playoffs, no chance?
How many times do I have to say it before you understand it? There's a chance in
but,
every game, but
I know,
don't
but
like
I,
their
I'm
chances.
I'm not talking about, yeah, there's a chance.
So you'll pick Cincinnati? In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, you can't go on here and say,
Fred, if Cincinnati goes 0-5 in the next five games,
you won't
and they
play
look
them
horrible.
In the playoffs. Let's just say that, Cincinnati finishes three, Cincinnati finishes two, Patriots finish three. Well, then they wouldn't play Cincinnati. But
yes, they would.
They might eventually play them.
Eventually, but I'm talking about first round.
Well,
they wouldn't play
they
them in the first
can't
round.
Play in the first
okay,
round.
Yeah. Name the teams you will pick over the Patriots. Assuming it's kind of like it is right now, that things play out, you Patriots win all their games, whatever. Name the teams you'll pick over the Patriots in the postseason.
If they have to go to Indianapolis, I'll pick Indianapolis.
Okay. That's fair.
You just said Cincinnati.
And if they have to go to Cincinnati, I'll pick Cincinnati.
Really?
If they have to go on the road, I don't have confidence
okay,
in their chances of winning.
Any team that they're going to go on the road to play, they're going to lose.
Most likely.
Okay. Most likely.
But that doesn't mean doesn't think
there's
a chance
there's
the
a
Patriots
chance
could
that they
win
can
the
win,
game.
Fred.
You'll be picking the other team.
Most likely.
Oh.
There's still a month to go, Fred. You can't get mad at him because he's doing what you do, giving himself an out.
What would change that? What would change the most
likely? If the teams aren't playing well, if those teams that they have to go to get the higher seed, but they're not playing well.
They finish the season weekly.
If they're not playing well.
Cincinnati, if that happens,
the Patriots will finish ahead of them.
No, but they could win
the games and not play well.
Cincinnati beat Cleveland last week, but they didn't play well.
They could win 9-7 or something against a
really.
That would change
your opinion of that other team if they won but not won well.
If they're not playing well, yes.
And you're going to be determined whether or not they're playing well.
Well, since we have to make picks, then yes, I'm going to make that determination.
You're going to
tell him to shut the F up because he's just jerking you around.
If they're winning, you're going to have the insight to say, yeah, they won, but they didn't play well.
We've never had one of these arguments where I've been solo again.
Well, you've never brought any passion before. That's why we started the whole show. It was all about Eric. It was great.
Don't say that, Andy, because that's bull.
Would you guys shut up?
For the first time in 4 years, Eric picks against the Patriots.
I haven't done it yet.
I know, and you're not going to. I know you. There is zero chance. You will pick the Patriots straight on through the conclusion of this season, including the postseason.
I'm not.
See, Eric,
I guarantee the postseason.
Eric is like Obama. Eric is like Obama and Bush when they talk about, they say, you know, it depends on conditions on the ground. This is what I'm going to say, but conditions on the ground could change that. And you're saying the conditions of the teams at the time could change things.
Yeah, that's very Fred. That's why you like your guy.
You know?
Yes, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to observe conditions and make decisions based on said conditions.
So then why do you think
the season's over? Because based on the conditions I've seen after 12 weeks,
but can't they
not
change
a Super Bowl
in the next
team.
Five?
I hope
you
so,
said
but
no, because you said you think they're going to win them all.
Over.
You know, you're killing the kid for having an opinion.
I know, he really does.
Oh.
All right.
I don't like what I've seen out of this team so far. They've beaten the teams they should beat, fine. They've lost to all the teams that it was questionable whether they should win or not.
Okay,
that to me is not the mark of a Super Bowl team.
What's most responsible for your change of heart? You thought they were a Super Bowl contender coming into the season, correct?
Absolutely.
Change of heart, why?
They go to Denver, have a lead, blow it.
No, Denver
at the time was 6-0 and considered
an elite
team.
No, I don't want results. Wow. I want a finger pointed in this building. I want the reason for those results.
Lawrence Boney Moreau.
I don't know if you can point to any one thing or person in particular.
Okay. So
I mean,
point to three.
I mean, collectively, the defense can't hold a lead.
Okay.
They've proven that.
Okay.
Against good teams, you have to hold a lead when you're on the road. Defense can't do it. Defensive backs can't cover anybody, especially good receivers. We've seen that.
I know. I'm just enjoying the tone. Can't cover anybody.
Well, that's what we've seen.
Just go. Point number two.
The offense can't score in the second half. That's point number two.
Okay. Point number three. Bill Belichick can't coach anymore.
No, I'm not.
You said that upstairs. You said that upstairs.
I said that to Carol to make her mad.
But you said it, and you
to Carol to make her mad.
No, there was no smirk. There was some venom.
There was no smirk. You were sitting on the other side of the cube. How could you tell if there was a smirk?
I can hear smirk. I am king of smirk.
You can hear smirk.
That's true.
Doc, is this the extent of the lunch today?
I sent them back to get more.
Yeah, that Andy kid, not getting it done.
Might have to order out something.
You ordering out?
I got a $10 bill in my pocket burning a hole.
Oh. That's not enough to order.
The hole is burning because you shaved it.
You want to make $5 the hard way?
He had a man grooming incident on the
road. Blocked up his hotel bathtub because he groomed himself in the bathtub.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
You groomed yourself?
Mm-hmm. And all this time, I thought groomed yourself meant the other thing.
It was just, I was standing there completely nude except for my sneakers.
We didn't tell anybody. You bought Patriots
sneakers. Oh, it's on the blog, so.
Yeah, well, no one reads it, so we should probably tell.
Except all those Russian spammers.
Yeah. Who PFW in Progress tweeted it.
Oh, so maybe
tweeted
did hear it.
The fact that we blogged about his shoes?
What did
they
tweet?
They retweeted it. They had the picture and everything.
Oh, wow. Nice.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
That's a nice
508-543-7482 is the
first
phone
time
number.
Ever we've had fun with Eric.
Aww. It's all right. We should probably get back to the Eric fun facts.
Well, I think it's interesting that Eric is the one on the ledge and some of our ASPFWers who are normally on the ledge.
He's a spurn lover.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that, Fred.
Yeah, no, you were very upset.
It has nothing to do. You'll read my commentary this week. You'll see where I'm coming from.
You're going to put
He'll
this in
read
writing.
It, but he won't
yes.
see.
You're going to put this in writing.
Fred, this is where Fred feels it necessary to save you from yourself.
I might have to.
Get that in early. So
it's already basically done.
Good.
LT from Adelaide writes in, firstly, I'm stunned. Secondly, I think the game on Monday highlighted our offensive and defensive deficiencies at a ridiculous level. It was the Tennessee game in reverse, although we kind of removed the really bad New Orleans and the really good Tennessee games to get a feel for the season. There are some fundamental flaws in the 09 Patriots. My question is, where exactly do you think the improvement between now and the end of the season will come from? At the start of this year, you guys have probabilities on the chance the Patriots will win the Super Bowl. Have they changed at all at 12 weeks into the season? My personal point of view is that as long as Tom is healthy and Bill's the head coach, the Pats are in the top five teams in the country and top three in the AFC. We have as good a chance to win it all as any other team in the NFL. I can't believe it was Andy Hart who said that the Pats' defense would keep the Saints' offense to a score less than what the offense could do. What was more shocking than that was Fred. He was objective enough to pick the Saints. I believe that Fred now has to hand over his status to Andy as the head Hart, the status of being a homer. Love the show. Keep up the great work. And, Fred, cheer us all up with more stories of Geno's unit.
First time I've ever been called a homer.
So.
Hello.
Yeah.
How's that pasta salad come?
I would agree about the top five thing. I think that you could make an argument top three in the AFC, top five. However, I would disagree with they have as good a chance as anybody to win the Super Bowl. Right. I don't think they have as good a chance as probably what I would consider the four teams ahead of them. You know, I don't think they have as good a chance as Indy, as good a chance as Minnesota, as good a chance as New Orleans. I don't think they do right now. Now, that's what I'm talking about, Doug.
Big cookies.
Just walked in with a
jackpot.
Big plate of cookies and sandwiches.
No one told Andy the no double chocolate rule.
By the way, this is all because Jay Heaps, the longtime Revolution player, did he actually announce his retirement today?
After half an hour.
He announced his retirement today. After many.
Took the Doug Flutie approach and is actually still speaking.
Son of a.
What, he took the best cookie?
Well, there's more underneath there, isn't there? That's on the one on the bottom.
I kind of like that email, though. In the idea that there's a part of me that believes it was the perfect storm negative, almost like the Titans game was the perfect storm.
It was. I think that's a very accurate analogy.
And so you throw both of them out, and you're back to maybe they have a pretty good defense.
Right.
And I get back to the offense. I didn't think I ever had to think that was a question. That was a debate.
Stop talking.
But now, I mean, there's part of me that says they can be stopped. They can be defended. And I didn't really think I was going to worry about that all that much.
Now, okay, and you might be right. I'm not disagreeing with you. Why do you think that they can be defended? Is it because they don't have a consistent running game? Is it because they don't have a good third receiver?
I feel like I'm being Dr. Phil. How does that make you feel when they
I think it's a combination of a lot of that.
I think the third receiver is huge.
I don't think they have a consistent running game, consistent third receiver, and a consistent offensive line.
The ironic thing about that, though, Fred, we talked about it at halftime at the Superdome, probably Lawrence Maroney's best game running overall, and they couldn't use him in the second half because they were playing from behind and had to throw the ball. I think they're actually getting a little bit better as a running team.
Yep. If the Patriots fall short this season, when I mean fall short, I mean don't make it to the AFC Championship or even worse, I think, you know, personnel decisions will be a big topic for the offseason. And when
you look at this team,
the third receiver on this team is basically a starter. That's their offense. There are three receivers.
Three receivers.
That's their offense. They went in thinking Joey Galloway and or Greg Lewis could be the answer, and both of them were busts.
Right.
And to leave it at that, that's your offense, and you know, to put yourself in that position, that could be a fatal flaw this year, is, you know, thinking that Joey Galloway or Greg Lewis could be your third receiver.
Well, how about on the opposite side of the ball as your third corner, potentially, Sean Springs? You got a guy who's making $15 million over the next 3 years, probably won't see it all, and he's a healthy scratch. He's inactive. How about... You went and got a guy with a third and a fifth round pick to fix your biggest problem heading into the season, needing a pass rusher. I still don't see Derek Burgess doing anything. I think he's an extreme bust. As you pointed out, he's missing tackles that look like plays that just have to be made. There are a lot of issues with the way this team was put together. Now, I still think you have to wait. I think you have to let it play out and see how it goes. But bottom line is now that a lot of the moves they've made starting last year, the draft, I think, is pretty good. So I'll say non-draft related. I think they did a pretty good job with a pretty deep draft class. But the wide receiver position,
the tight end position. They threw some money at Chris Baker.
Alex
He's
Smith
a non-factor.
Came in.
They traded for Alex Smith. They traded David Thomas away. They traded for the big guy.
Michael Matthews.
Michael Matthews. They traded for Derek Burgess. They traded Richard Seymour away. They traded Ellis Hobbs away. I mean, stop me if any of these were home runs. Not even the Seymour deal you can say is a home run. You can argue it got great value with a first-round pick, but I don't think you can argue it was a home run and that you wouldn't have been better on Monday night with Richard Seymour on the field. So I don't see a lot of home runs there. I mean, everybody's pointing to McGowan, but you can't let one street free agent, Paul, overshadow the other 17 moves that you made that don't look so good.
No, it's fair. It's a fair observation. I mean, you know, we talked about it before. I think they really thought they were going to get Jason Taylor. And when they didn't, you know, I think they underestimated his desire to go back to Miami.
My understanding is something changed in his personal life. That's what I was told.
But before he signed?
That he was kind of, like, we were kind of legitimate as a candidate, and something personally changed that made Miami the far more appropriate and palatable location.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it is.
Well, whatever it was.
Family-related, kids, school, I don't know.
I think it put the defense on its heels. I think they were really hoping Jason Taylor was that guy, that outside pass rusher that they were looking for. And when they didn't get him, I think it really screwed things up. You know?
Could be, but that's a lot of pressure to put on one aging veteran guy.
Yeah.
And by the way, has not had a good year. So we might be saying the same things, you know, if they had acquired him that we're saying about Derek Burgess.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't really had an impact at all in Miami. Very little. You brought up, among all the personnel things, Sean Springs. Do you think, with Will Hyde struggling, we got a couple of SPFWs about this, a lot of people beating up on Will Hyde, which is unfair because, you know, he was one of many Monday night that gave up a lot of big plays. But he has struggled a little bit lately. He's been in position Monday night notwithstanding. He was in position against the Indy.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in position against Indy. He was in position against the Jets even, then the Cotchery touchdown, but hasn't made the plays. Do you think maybe you don't want to shatter his confidence. You know, I don't want to put him on the bench or have him inactive, but maybe lessen his role and maybe put a guy like Springs with a little more experience and see what he can do. See if he can change something up. I don't know.
I'm wondering why Springs hasn't played.
Well, has Springs screwed up that much in a game that you've noticed of why he wouldn't be playing?
Haven't seen him in a game.
Haven't seen it, right. So is this all practice that he's screwing up where he...
That's a good question, Fred.
I don't really have a vibe for,
I don't know,
for Sean Springs.
Or is there an injury they're just not talking about?
Well, he has an injury.
But
he
had
full
one before,
participation and probable is his how he's listed every week. I mean, there's something... I can't even remember what it is. But he has something technically that is on the injury report, but it's full participation and probably. He's like Tom Brady. Same classification every week as Tom Brady. So I don't think it's injury related.
I think it's
a healthy
decision.
Scratch,
yeah.
Which means everything Bill's seen from camps on through means he's not one of the best.
Of the little that we've seen of him in games, I haven't seen anything that really told me, oh, this guy stinks.
Yeah, but
we haven't seen
he didn't
enough.
Get to play against the Saints when you decided other guys stunk. You know what I mean?
But what I'm asking is, what are they predicating that personnel decision?
That's a good question.
Is
what they see
in
that's
practice, or
nobody can answer that except Bill. And I'm since that's what
he's
it looks
not
like.
Not going to answer that, but
I'm going to stick with Bill. Unlike Eric, I haven't cut ties with Bill yet.
No,
as
we
a
went
coach
with the players we thought would give us the best chance to win the game.
Exactly, Bill. You need to rethink that.
Keith in Central Florida writes in. Bill continues to state that we were out coached and outplayed. Well, why doesn't he do something about it? It's like that guy in Saturday Night Live. Fix it. Just fix it. Bill thinks he can do everything himself. He almost can. But there are only 24 hours in the day. I'm tired of Bill running and wasting his time with Coaching Academy USA. Bring in real offensive and defensive coordinators, not people you're looking to train for the coordinator position. Brady and Moss aren't getting any younger. Charlie is free. Mike Martz might not run the same system, but I'm sure he's smart enough to tailor his system
you don't want that
to the Pats while adding his own wrinkles and creative play calling, as this offense has become far too predictable, along with the lack of execution, especially in the second half. We all know the players need to play better, but this coaching staff needs to get better too, as Bill states. Well, it's hard to argue.
A little unfair with those shots at the coaching staff, I think. I mean,
on the offensive side of the ball, unfair.
That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that they're putting all this pressure on Bill O'Brien.
On defense. Now, I don't know where the shots go because I was always one, you know, it was always Bill's defense, Bill's defense, Bill's defense till it stinks. Then it's Dean Pease's defense, and let's run Dean Pease out of town.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know the dynamic there, so it's hard for me to critique
here's
either way.
Here's the thing. Pease is up in the booth. So, okay, you can coordinate from the booth, obviously. A lot of coordinators do it. But after that first or second drive, it's always Bill on the bench with the defense. Now, maybe, I'm sure he's talking to Pease. Mm-hmm. Maybe Pease is giving him input on what adjustments should be made. But it's Bill the one communicating one-on-one with the defense once the game starts.
Yeah, but he has to.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one down there.
Well, I know.
It's not physically possible for Pease.
Well, he doesn't
to.
Have to. I mean, not every head coach does that.
No, but if you're going to have any head coach do it, wouldn't you want Bill to do it?
Absolutely. I'm just telling you how things are working right now.
Yeah, but you're.
I don't know. Pease is not there.
Pease is in the booth. If Pease is on the sideline, is Bill still the one that's addressing the defense?
No.
I don't think so.
But what I'm saying
maybe
is.
Maybe it is.
There's a lot of defensive coordinators that work from the booth. Not all those teams does he have the head coach make the adjustments on the field. Sometimes they do it through the linebacker's coach.
Yeah, but don't you think, say, the Jets, whoever their defensive coordinator is, if he's in the booth, that Rex Ryan's going to talk to the defense as a defensive-minded genius
Whereas
coach?
Whereas if Charlie Weiss is the head coach and the defensive coordinator's in the booth,
right.
Probably the linebacker coach is the right. one that's right. doing it because Charlie's an offensive
guy. I think that's just circumstantial and natural based on the roles.
I guess it could be, but, you know.
I think Bill does a lot of that. I think Bill is involved in everything. We can all agree on that. But that's always been the way it is. You know, people think just
slants
now.
Slants and in-cuts.
That's what this game is about. But that's always been the way Bill is. I mean, he's always been a very hands-on coach that's involved in all aspects of his team. And I think I kind of agree with Eric. I think it's a little unfair to throw it all on. I don't think the offense is predictable. I don't think that they do anything. I think that they do what they do on offense generally very well. You don't think that people know what's coming?
Yeah.
You don't think right. when Welker caught
Moss
15 passes against the
Welker
Jets
comes across the
that the Jets knew yeah. they were going over the middle to Welker on third down?
Yeah, I don't like
Stop blame, it. There's a difference.
I don't like blaming on the coordinator either because remember, early in the season, we were saying, wow, the plays are there. Brady's just not. So if the plays are there, that means it was a pretty good call. Now it's a matter of execution.
And I liked his play calling when they had the two fourth down situations early in the game. The first fourth down, they did the short. Handoff to Sammy Morris.
Yeah, I was really mad about
which they did again Atlanta. And then the other fourth down, they hand to Maroney, the D back. So he played the calls just right. He set them up with the short one, and then on the touchdown, he went to the other player. I don't have any problem with the plays he's calling. There's just something not right in the second half where they just aren't connecting. They aren't, you know, Brady's throwing interceptions and.
The larger point, I'm with Eric on this, I think is about...
Season's over?
No, but it's about what you and Fred talked about 10 minutes ago about the offseason. That's the larger point. That's, you know, build the GM, let down build the coach. I think that they do not have the base of talent that they have had in the past. Listen, some of it is by design. Some of it defensively, Bill said, we got to turn this over. He could have brought Vrabel back and they would be a better defense probably with Mike Vrabel playing every day. But I think Bill wanted to sort of turn the page. He knew that Rodney was gone. He probably knew that Teddy was gone. You know, I don't think he knew he was going to make the Richard Seymour trade, but in the back of his mind, he probably thought there was a chance.
Sure.
You know, Al Davis said they had talked about as far back as the draft,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So I think Bill might have said, you know what, this is a transition time for defense. It's going to get turned
might
over.
As well go,
might
go
as well
all in
do
with it.
It.
Yeah. But is that a smart move when
Maybe
you have
not.
Brady and Moss
Maybe
and,
not.
And a Super
that's,
Bowl hope?
But that's what I'm saying. Bill the GM.
Is it a smart move to say, I'm already losing Brewski, Harrison, and Seymour?
And is
I'm
it necessary?
Guy, anyone even say
necessary?
Can I keep Vrabel for a year?
You know, I'm totally in agreement with you. I'm agreeing with your point. Build the GM, and, let down, build
and,
build
I can
the coach.
See where, like, if you had a first-round draft pick, outside linebacker that you just drafted, all right, let's get rid of Vrabel. Let's get this guy out in the field. But they didn't have guys
to replace
him. Tell you
something. If they trade down early next year in the draft, the fans are going to revolt.
Well,
he has
lost some of his rope in terms of trading down.
You know what? No more protecting the fans either. I'm going to put one in the SPFW this week, these people that want to fire Bill.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let them take the wrath of Patriots Nation. I'm tired of protecting these people. Every time we lose a game, they want to fire the guy.
Oh, I know. We got a good one this week because whenever I post one of those, I put, if you're going to post this, you need to tell me A, B, and C as a coach available or a guy you want to go get to replace him. So somebody said, I want to fire Bill. And no, I don't know who's better out there, and I don't know who I want to replace him with. I just want to fire him.
It's just, that is absolutely
I want to know
ridiculous.
Why, too. I want to know what specifically about his game plan
they're
did you disagree
mad.
With?
This struck a nerve,
like
and we have a, per-
they're
right, we have a perfect
angry.
Example.
I didn't
we have the biggest nerve on the planet.
They're reacting, you know,
nerve
very emotionally.
I never said that, Fred.
I said duh. I just said it.
I said duh. You said you wanted to fire Bill?
I just said that you're acting emotionally.
But I never said that had anything to do with
no,
Bill being the head
you're
coach.
You're reacting a different way.
Emotionally.
No, I'm looking at it objectively.
Are you going to cry?
The curtain's falling on this season.
That's what
it looks
like.
Are
you suggesting that no one else is objective? You're the only one that's looking at it objectively?
No, I'm just... He's
well,
saying
suddenly
I'm being
now
passionate
he is
about
looking
it.
At it objectively after 4 years.
Yeah, which the truth came out. It's my team. I pick for them.
Well, it's all of our
when
team.
When we make picks, yes, I pick them. But that doesn't mean I don't have thoughts about how they're going to match up and what other teams are going to do.
Over the last, you know, I tease Fred all the time because I can't, before last week, I couldn't remember the last time he picked against the Patriots. You could probably count the amount of times I've picked against the Patriots. But the fact is,
142, 143.
No, I mean, you wouldn't have, to, you could use your fingers. You wouldn't get more than 10. Over
really?
The last
eight.
Over the last 4, 5, 6 years, probably not. I only picked against them twice this year.
Why would
I'm
you?
2-2.
They're usually the better team.
I didn't pick the Jets and I didn't pick Denver. I picked the Patriots in both of those games. I picked Indy and I picked New Orleans.
I picked Denver in the playoffs.
You did. I didn't pick that. I picked the Patriots in that game.
You never saw that game though, did you? Nope.
Still hasn't seen it.
I'd already seen it in my mind before the game happened.
Over the course of 4 or 5 full seasons, I find it hard to believe that you didn't go into one game thinking, you know what? They could be in trouble in this one. I'm picking the other team.
Well, I certainly think they could be
but
in Fred's, trouble in some
Fred's
games.
Fred's theory,
I
anytime
the
I think
Patriots.
They have a chance, I pick them.
No,
well, I mean,
if I think it's pretty even, I said, not a chance. If I think it's – I thought they had a chance against the Saints.
That's why
they
I was
didn't.
Surprised that you picked the Saints.
But I don't think they had an even chance.
In
I
retrospect, think, you were right. They didn't have a chance.
When I think it's an even chance, I'll pick the Patriots based on history and they're my team. But when I really think that the other team is better, I'm going to pick the other team. Rarely do I think that.
And with good reason.
With good reason.
With good reason. With very good reason.
I remember
reason.
1 year, and I think it was 2000.
Yeah, but you never think
it
that.
Might have been 2001.
That's the part that I'm getting at.
We were back when we worked at Walpole, I picked the Colts twice.
That's,
in the same season, and
different.
I was wrong both times.
But that was different. We were 0-2 the first time you picked the Colts.
Belichick
and Brady
was
brushing
up his resume
start.
At that point.
That's how little I pick against him. I remember the time that I did.
And he has to go back to 0-1.
But you still pick against
when
him
they were
10
still
times
in the
more
AFC
often
East.
Than Eric.
And I've actually picked maybe a couple times since then I picked against
him. You took the Jets.
You took the Jets.
At some point.
Like
one point.
Like some of those regular season games at Pittsburgh. You never thought Pittsburgh was better than us? Going
no.
into one of those games at Pittsburgh?
Mouthy team, no.
Okay, but they beat us.
See,
so
that's different,
that's what
though.
I don't get.
They don't beat
hating them is not thinking about
they
them.
They have beaten us in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Remember,
Halloween.
They beat
Halloween.
Us here.
That Halloween game.
Last year when Pittsburgh came here, you didn't think Pittsburgh was better than us?
I can't
do. You didn't pick them.
Then I didn't think that.
I certainly thought it, but I
he
always,
sits
but
there
I
and says, I can't remember. I can remember. You haven't picked against the Patriots before last week since at least 03.
But that's the thing,
maybe
Paul.
Even further back than that.
That's the thing. I will pick the Patriots, but...
But I don't believe it.
No, no.
At least I believe it.
You have forfeited all your credibility in the picking department because you don't pick what you think. You pick what you want to happen. That's different.
He's speechless.
He is.
Not
he is.
Just, you got him with that one.
Mr. Ron Burgundy sweater. All right. Let's get back to some emails, shall we?
A lot of emails. One blowout just throws you all out of whack.
Matt says, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving and plenty to eat. Now that the pleasantries are out of the way, I have to defend myself. On one of last week's show, Andy called me a homer. Well, Andy, I'll have you know that I have been with my girlfriend for 2 years now, and oh, wait, you said homer. Never mind. Yes.
Eric's a homer, too.
This is a recycled joke that I tried to get in last week, but I figured with Monday night's debacle, we could all use a laugh. I have been watching this team since I was 6 years old, and I've always cheered and rooted for them even during their terrible years, but this team right now is exactly what their record is. Heck, They're only one game better than the Jags. People need to stop smoking what the media is rolling about this team and its recent history. To be the best, you have to beat the best.
Woo!
He actually wrote it, and you did it. That's good. Especially on the road, I think they right now are just a second-tier team. They are not playing good second-half football. Defense has a way to go. Offense is borderline predictable. Not that I'm an NFL defensive coordinator. The list could go on. Maroney was the only bright spot Monday night. Go figure.
And he fumbled.
On the broadcast, it even looked like Moss was arguing with a young non-Patriot personnel at about 2.5 minutes left in the game. Any insight on that?
I didn't see that.
I didn't see that. The one thing I do want to comment on about Moss after I read this email.
I'm with you, Fred.
I don't have that warm and fuzzy feeling for any great success in the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong. Belichick has always been great at rallying the troops, but something just seems to be missing. Is the league just catching up with the Belichick magic? Thanks for taking the time to read my spastic email. I will never jump ship, but, man, this is a crazy year. Says Matt.
Matt is expressing the same sentiments that I am.
I didn't jump ship.
That's Eric in a nutshell right there. I'm with you, Eric.
I mean,
I was a little concerned.
This is called good cop, bad cop, by the way.
I think I have.
After, I'm not sure if it was after the Brady interception or, no, I think it might have been after the fourth down play where, you know, McKenzie broke up the play to Moss.
That was the play.
Moss walked off the field and didn't get anywhere near Brady on the bench.
Shoulders slumped.
Yeah. It was like usually, you know, they come off talking like, hey, he would have nothing to do. Brady sat next to Welker and the rest of the offense, and Moss would have nothing to do with them.
I have a larger point about Moss that I want. This, we don't have to spend a lot of time. It's late in the show. We probably should get to more emails. But just quick impressions. How close do you think he's to being done?
Physically or physically? Emotionally?
Physically. The end of the line.
I don't think so.
I mean, close. Within a year or two.
I think he's close. I think you've seen him taken out of more games this year than I can ever recall.
But is that ability or desire?
I don't think it's a mental thing.
See, I don't know.
I don't think he quit the other night.
I don't think he did either. I saw him beating people downfield.
And you hit that, and all of a sudden the game looks totally different.
14-3 or whatever it was.
But, I mean, his game is now 4 for, you know, 115 or whatever.
Don't misread me here. This is not a Felgerism where I think the guy stinks. Dog.
D-O-G.
I don't think he's a dog. I think he's as physically gifted as any receiver we've seen. The whole thing that he says he doesn't fight to get open is asinine. It's ridiculous. You know, what does Wes Welker fight to get open? He runs his pass routes and he gets open. That's how you do it. You don't fight anybody to get open. But anyway.
Who are you fighting right now?
I just thought that was a silly thing to say yesterday. I heard Mike say that. I just think that lately we've seen him get covered tighter than we had. Now, he still has the ability to make plays. That's why you say he can hit a big one. Absolutely. He could still make. I'm not saying he's done, D-U-N, done. I'm saying he's close to being done.
Well, he is.
30. He's getting taken out of games more often than I can recall ever.
But is that the offense or him?
I don't know what it is, but he's not open that much.
I think they've lost their Superman. The offense has lost their Mike Tyson. You know, I think people now say, you know what? People have stopped them. People have done things that have slowed them down, whether you go back to 07 late in the year, last year maybe they learned some things, in this year.
And next year I think is his last year in the NFL.
Oh, I do too.
Personally.
Yeah. I mean, but I just think he wants to be done. I don't think he wants to do this forever. I don't think he wants to
hang
on.
I don't think it's going to necessarily be his choice. I don't think anybody's going to give him any money.
Oh, I think somebody would sign him, but I don't think he wants to do he wants to be the show at all times. And I think he'll realize, maybe I've lost, I can't be the show anymore. I don't want to be Jag 4 catches for 40 yards.
And doesn't want to do what Jerry Rice did and become like the fourth receiver on the Broncos in training camp.
Yeah, I think he wants to be a showtime guy.
He's not like a fastball pitcher that can adjust his game later on in years. He is what he is, and once he loses that, I don't think he can be an over-the-middle possession receiver.
I think he has great hands, long arms.
And great route runner. Great.
But he's not fast. I mean, well,
he's not that fast anymore.
He doesn't have the quickness.
I think if you wanted him to do the Wes Welker stuff, he wouldn't be as good.
What was the game he did that?
But I think he can.
Atlanta?
I think he'd get killed, Andy.
I think
if
what do you mean by killed?
He couldn't do it over the middle.
I think he'd be hurt.
He'd get hurt.
Oh, he might.
But you do it on the sidelines, not over the middle.
He has the skills to do whatever he wants.
You don't have to be a slot guy to be a possession receiver.
No, I know.
There's plenty of outside receivers that aren't that fat. David Givens was an outside guy who was a possession receiver. He ran 15-yard outs till the cows came home.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
or that little post corner in the middle of the field where he was always open.
Yeah.
No one's going to pay him big bucks to do that. But
right. Well, I think next year is his last year in the league.
I don't think he loves football. I think he loves making big plays and being a showman.
Randy Moss.
Right. If he loved football, he could add another 2 or 3 years.
And I have a lot of respect for Randy Moss. I don't want this to come. I just think that I've seen, you know, the Revis thing this past week. Yeah, he made some plays against Indy, made some big plays. But there have been times this year where I think that opposing teams have done a better job of sort of corralling him. Denver, there's some other examples.
I agree with
examples.
You visually, but well, then you have to look at it and say he was like, whatever, sixth in the league in receiving yards. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
he's still – that's so how good he is.
That's what I mean. It's
that's how good he is. I thought New Orleans did everything you could to completely take a guy out of the game, but he still caught a 47-yard right. pass in the middle of the game.
And I think he could have had a 55 or 60-yarder, and you add that, and now all of a sudden it's just a normal game, and he's now fourth in the league in yards. So
yeah, that's why I'm not
it's one of those where we're
over.
So close that we see it all the right. time, but somebody from afar looks at the stats and goes – well, he's got 70 catches for 1,000 yards.
I think it's kind of like T.O. I think, you know, I said this about T.O. 2 years ago. He still continued to be productive.
Right.
I think now you're finally starting to see T.O. ain't T.O. anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, there was a drop-off that was evident in before this, and now it's coming to a head because
he's
in Buffalo.
But they're so good that sometimes the drop-off is
still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case with Randy.
TG and NJ says, guys, don't get me wrong. I love the guy, but how much are we paying Junior to be a locker room cheerleader when there are guys like McKenzie walking the street? Shouldn't we be using that roster spot for another defensive player who can get on the field? How much of a chance is it that Junior being back is all part of his sports job show and the team and the crafts are getting some payola to allow him back in?
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Again,
I want to say zero.
Bill Belichick would lose all credibility. Everything he's built in his career would be gone.
Again, I have nothing against Junior, but after the New Orleans game, it's clear to me the team needs to move on, find new leaders and playmakers. The Pats are only in the contention equation based on their reputation alone. They are a paper tiger at this point.
Well, that I agree with, but it's not just reputation. I mean, there's not that many really good teams.
No, there isn't.
They're beating good teams. They're not beating the really good teams.
If the league was full of Saints and Vikings, I'd say no, the Patriots
they
don't
would
have
suck.
A chance.
Well, or if the league was full of Patriots from a few years ago, they wouldn't be.
The league hasn't been like that since the mid-'80s.
Right.
And, hey, was that Lori Baranski's voice on the media player? How's that sweet little number doing? Anybody keep in touch with her? Andy?
He was just like, here, hold this.
No comment. Wow. She does have a new job.
She does?
Yeah, I forgot where.
Okay.
I didn't know. Eric and I don't keep in contact. Only Andy does.
Well, I, like Tiger Woods, have had my transgressions.
Nick from Birmingham that says I never read his emails. Here we go. Guys, the Pats have lost their identity. I would like to point out that the one trend I've noticed is that in every road game, the Pats have shot themselves in the foot one way or the other. In this game, they activated Edelman as a third quarterback, further limiting Brady's pass options, which I really think had an influence in the passing game. I, for one, think it's almost over. We have no pass rush unlike the 07 Giants, and we couldn't even stop a three-man rush against the Saints. How are we going to win on the road in the playoffs? When I saw Bill huddled up with the entire defense, I thought he was leading a prayer session.
The Edelman thing, by the way, it had to be health.
Yeah.
He's not the third quarterback if he was 100% physically ready to go. That had to be a health-related thing.
Yeah. Jason in Oklahoma, Fred is a douchebag. Thank you for your service. Hey, guys, I'm a longtime listener, 8 years, first-time emailer, and normally a huge fan of Fred. And to add, I love the show, but there is an old topic that has bothered me since it happened.
Uh-oh.
Fred, as an active duty Air Force member for 16 years, I was bothered by your mocking of Eric about the thank you for your service comment. Fred, who the hell cares who said it first? And if Eric is copying someone, as an Air Force member, I appreciate more than anything someone saying thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Eric usually says that to another guy. But anyway, most military members don't. I had to.
That was so far out of bounds.
Did he not listen to the rules, Eric? I mean, it's embarrassing.
He obviously doesn't play by our rules.
Most military members don't expect a big deal to be made, but a simple thank you goes a long way. So,
thank you for your service. What's his name?
This is Jason from Oklahoma.
Jason.
Now that I'm done with that rant, do you guys think that in the second and third quarters it would have been a good idea to go to a no huddle to change the pace? I understand that you do not give a chance for the D to rest, but when you go three and out, they don't rest anyway. It seemed to me like they needed to do something to change things, but it never happened. What do you guys think?
Well, the defense was going three and out, but it was three plays, touchdown, and you're off the field.
Yeah, and the Patriots' offense wasn't going three and out.
No.
They didn't punt till the second half, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I understand, Ian, it's not working. They've been so good at the no huddle in the past and kind of spreading them out and going with it.
Yeah, the no huddle, I think, I don't think that made a lot of sense in that game.
I don't really either, but sometimes when things aren't working, try
something. When the other team is scoring in less than a minute, I think the last thing you want to do is run the risk of putting your defense back out there in less than a minute.
But I'm just looking at it from an offensive perspective. Nothing's in sync.
Plus, maybe Bill had to have time to finish the prayer session.
That was funny.
Maybe if we put ourselves under pressure, something we've excelled in the past, maybe that.
I think they should have done the opposite. I think they should have put two tight ends in the game and
run
the ball.
That could have been it, too.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Like they did in the first drive.
They were having such a good getting good production out of Maroney.
They get very nervous when they fall behind.
I
they
know.
They also get very nervous when they have
their best player and they figure, well, we got to, you know.
They also get very nervous when they have one run that nets 1 yard.
Yeah.
You know, it was great when Maroney got 8 in the first carry, 22 or whatever, 22 in the first carry.
22 on the first carry.
And, you know, 8, and then, you know, they get the first down with the Sammy Morris run. And then all of a sudden they get a runoff tackle for nothing, and it's throw from there on in.
And it's I also think that this offensive line is more banged up than they're letting on. I really think that.
Well, they are all injured in one way or another.
Except Makins
is the only one we don't know of anything. Yeah. And I'm sure he ain't feeling great. You know, 12 weeks.
Right, no offensive line is at this point, but I think there are some serious injuries.
Well, you got two tackles who've been hurt. You know, at various points, you had one who came off PUP.
Right.
Who's done okay.
Neil was on and off the field.
Neil's been on and off the field.
Vollmer wasn't available.
Right. Copen.
Yeah. Copen got hurt once.
I'll tell you a scary thing. Vince Wilfork hurt his right or left ankle.
Yeah,
limped
he was
off
walking
for a while.
Off, yeah.
That's a major concern, especially this week where I say they'll just shut down Ricky Williams.
Yeah.
That'll go out the window if Vince Wilfork, you know, had some swelling after the game or something and that pops up because he's your best playmaker.
Well, we'll
you
get
don't
an injury report today, but it won't be – hey, that – what time are they practicing?
It's a walkthrough, and it's at 3:30, I believe.
Yeah, we should get the injury report at 4.
Okay.
That's the rule, right? It doesn't matter what time you practice.
Right.
I'm just laughing at it. And there's a, hey, what time is that practice? Hey,
Rich in Minneapolis. Hey, Cork Soakers and Fred. I only wanted to know who was calling the plays on offense. I can't even begin to count how many third downs there were or with 7 or 8 yards to go, and the play call was a 5-yard out or a comeback route. I'm sorry, but you need to call a route beyond the sticks when the defense is not allowing any yards after catch.
That was a problem Monday night.
I don't care if you want to leave the game in the offense's hand on fourth down or 2 yards to go, Colts and Saints, but you need to call a freaking play for more than 1 or 2 yards. I'm so frustrated with the vanilla play call. Unless there are significant injuries to Brady or the O-line, I don't know about, why are we confining one of the game's most explosive offenses to short out routes and comebacks? Thanks for all your good work. You guys do a good job at keeping us fans off the ledge.
Except Eric, who's on the ledge with you.
I do think third downs, Andy and I talked about it in Monday night. Too many times, I thought, Monday night, on third downs, they were short of the sticks. They ended up being either incomplete or tackled short.
Right. Yeah.
But I also think they forced the ball downfield to Moss too often, too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a vanilla problem. I think
it's a consistency
problem.
You were thrown to Welker short and Moss deep because all you have is Welker short and Moss deep.
Yeah, you don't have a third receiver who's consistent.
Of any kind. Not just, I mean, they couldn't get Watson involved. They tried to get him involved
and
be the guy.
They tried to force
that
some throws
work.
To him, too.
It wasn't a big Kevin Falk game. They don't have another option in the passing game besides those two.
One of the big first downs they got, Aiken caught the ball 3 or 4 yards short of the sticks and broke a tackle.
Right.
Ended up getting the first down.
Yeah. I won't criticize Sam Aiken.
And is that all because of the pass rush? They didn't have time to wait for a guy to get beyond the sticks? I don't know.
No, not some of them. I mean, they were running underneath
those
routes.
Those are decisions with the football.
There was one in particular. There was like at least three guys on the route, and they all went short. It was an incomplete pass.
Right.
They all went short of the sticks. I was like, how could that play have possibly worked?
I don't know. Anyway, John Rook is in his mother's basement. John, how you doing?
Fred, we're okay today. How about yourself?
Well, we're doing all right. We're trying to recover. It's very difficult, but, you know.
I'm powering, John.
Yeah, it is difficult. I'm kind of left,
you know, first of all, I'm kind of glad that I have the luxury of having, you know, 24 to 48 hours to sort of let it simmer for a little bit before I kind of open my mouth and share my thoughts, which usually you don't have the luxury of doing when you're in sports talk radio, right?
Right.
But here's the thing. I'm left with two impressions from Monday night as of this moment. Number one, and I think you guys talked about this earlier, General Manager Belichick did no favors to Head Coach Belichick this year.
Yeah,
that's number one.
Yeah, we talked about that, yep.
And number two, Tom Brady did not play well, and there's just no escaping that fact.
Yep.
And it could very well be a byproduct still of him trying to round back into shape. It could be a byproduct of, you know, the pocket collapsing a little of him. It could be a byproduct of you know, not having the receivers out there that he really needs. It could be a little bit of everything, or it could be all of nothing. But the fact is, the bottom line is Tom Brady was not Tom Brady.
I'm not buying the shape thing, but I certainly will buy the personnel moves. They didn't, you know, this is a three-receiver team with two receivers and the offensive line. I'll take those two things. But the shape thing, he's got to be in shape by now. Come on.
Well, you know, that may very well be the case. But, you know, unless Tom tells us himself, what are we left to believe? All I can tell you is based on past history in the NFL, that major reconstructive knee injuries take a full year or even more in most instances to completely come back from if – you come back at all.
Yeah, but
go talk to Carson Palmer about that.
I know, but I mean, really, are we seeing, we're looking at him move around in the pocket fine. He's avoiding
the pressure. And he's overthrowing Fred. He overthrew on Monday night.
Well, does that mean he has a bad knee?
I've seen him underthrow.
It means
too many
he's
times.
Overcompensating. He's not comfortable.
Well, I don't know.
I wonder if he is banged up.
Well, he could be banged up.
From the, I remember when he kind of limped to the sideline. Looked very upset late in the Jets game.
Yep.
I'm wondering if maybe there was some lingering effects from a physical standpoint.
To me, he's moving around fine. He could be banged up, but I don't think
I don't think he's moving around fine.
I don't think he is.
He's avoided some sacks, you know, but I don't think he's moving the way he has moved in the past.
I don't either. He doesn't have the same.
I don't know, we had Fran Tarkenton on this team.
No, we don't, and we never have had. Well, but
you
wouldn't
because you think he never looked better than what he's looked this year, despite the fact that every other person who's watched him thinks he struggled.
Exactly. He just doesn't have the same
deftness.
He had
the best training camp he's ever had.
And that was one of the most foolish things you've ever said.
And I stick by it. He would agree. He would agree.
Yeah, he would agree.
Best training camp?
Best he's ever looked in training camp.
Best he's looked in training camp ever.
Don't even bother.
Don't waste any time on it.
It's late in the crossover, John.
Well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, I suppose. But, you know, training camp and regular season are two vastly different
things. Absolutely. I never said anything about the season. I said training camp.
But training camp doesn't necessarily, Fred, mean you're going to have a great season.
I didn't say that. We were during training camp, I said this is the best I've seen him. This isn't something I said last week. I said it during training camp.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, Fred, even you can't deny the fact that he was not
he was
good.
Off. Terrible game.
He
awful
was terrible.
Game.
And he doesn't normally make those overthrows. He doesn't normally do that.
He's had all
Drew
year.
Brees made him look silly. Drew Brees made him look pedestrian by comparison.
Well, he did. Wow. Absolutely.
Drew Brees looked like Brady.
I'm glad you had 48 hours to chew it over.
Eric, are you joining him for this show? Any portion of this show?
The first hour, I believe.
Ooh, right. It's going to be a negative first hour.
That could be to light yourself
John
on fire.
John Rook thinks Brady stinks, and Eric has given up on the season.
Well,
all that next.
Take
inside
away,
the playbook.
Take away the shoelaces.
There's a lot of emails that we didn't get to, and John will read them during his show, or Eric will read them during the show, or I don't know. Who reads them during the show?
We both do.
We both
John
do.
Does.
Okay. All right, so if you didn't have your email read during our show, stay tuned with Patriots Playbook. Any guests today? No?
Ask Doc.
Not yet.
No.
Doc just got in this week. All right, so we will see you tomorrow, Thursday. Stay tuned to John. Talk to you then.